If I had to sit on the bench due to diabetes, it would frustrate me. My Bayer meter is very important.
Only Bayer's contour meter has programmable personal high-low settings.
It allows me to make sure that my diabetes is controlled as tightly as possible.
The contour meter, only from Bayer.
Zero. Live to the White House and CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer.
Responding to the growing concerns of New York area officials, the White House is reconsidering holding the terror trials there. An official tells CBS News there are discussions on alternatives. New York Senator Charles Schumer advised the White House to look for other sites.
I made the arguments pretty strenuously.
And CBS News national security consultant Juan Zarate sees no easy answers.
The question of cost, disruption, and security will be an issue wherever you pick the venue.
WCBS reporter Sean Adams has New Yorkers' reaction to this talk of a change in venue.
Outside the federal courthouse in Lower Manhattan, the sense of relief is palpable as word spreads that the 9/11 terror trials might be relocated.
I'm glad to hear because I work in the building.
What were your fears and concerns?
That they might blow it up.
What were your concerns about the trial being here?
Security, basically, yeah.
Glad to hear that because I work down there. It's hard enough coming into the city now.
One man told me September 11th was enough. We don't need to relive it. Sean Adams, CBS News, New York.
It's purported to be the latest message from Osama bin Laden. On the recording aired by Al Jazeera, bin Laden calls for a global boycott of U.S. products and the dollar, blaming the United States and other industrialized nations for a variety of ills, including hunger and global warming. All over the country, cities and states have cracked down on drivers using cell phones. But do the laws work? Here's CBS News correspondent John Harchie.
A study of crash data in four jurisdictions that have banned driving with handheld cell phones shows no change in accident rates. Adrian Lund of the Highway Loss Data Institute says drivers face many distractions.
The increasing number of cell phones out there doesn't seem to have produced a lot more crashes.
Lund says it could be distracted driving is bigger than cell phones, so he's looking to technology.
Forward collision warning systems are intended to get the driver's attention back if they don't notice that they're approaching stop traffic in front of them.
John Harchie, CBS News, Washington.
Tens of thousands of people across the southern plains are without power this morning after a nasty ice storm swept through. Reporter August Kamenka has more from Houston.
Vehicles pushed off the road like toy cars.
With the wind blowing like this, you can't see 20 feet in front of you.
Tow trucks are a hot commodity in the nation's frozen midsection. This man who drives one told CBS affiliate KFDA in Lubbock, Texas, what that means for travelers.
Sliding on the overpasses and stuff and hitting the guardrails.
And it's not just a Texas-sized storm. This winter wallop stretches from New Mexico to Tennessee. August Kamenka, CBS News. Houston.
In Wichita, Kansas, the jury could begin deliberating as soon as today the fate of Scott Roeder, the admitted killer of abortion provider Dr. George Tiller last May. But jurors will only be able to decide whether he committed murder now that the judge has ruled out the lesser charge of manslaughter. It's off to Baltimore today for President Obama, where he will announce new business tax incentives. Here's CBS's Bill Plant.
The president will propose giving businesses a $5,000 tax credit for every new employee hired this year, and small businesses would get back Social Security payroll tax on increased wages or hours for existing employees. The Treasury Department estimates the program could help 1 million businesses. It would cost about $33 billion.
There will be no push to return humans to the moon on President Obama's watch.
Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
Under the president's proposed budget that will be rolled out next week, NASA will get an additional $6 billion.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk. AM760.net.
I'm Pat Woodard with an AM 760 local news update. A Jefferson County man is charged with fatal child abuse after authorities say he left his 5-month-old son at home for hours so he could go drinking at local bars. 23-year-old Joseph Trujillo's grandmother, who also lived at the apartment, called police after waking up and hearing Trujillo crying while he held his son. Visitors to Durango's Iron Horse Inn had a chilly wake-up call. The inn's Ryan Parker says the roof caved in early yesterday morning.
All of a sudden heard this crack, and the whole ballroom at our hotel, just the whole roof caved in due to the snow. And that was, I don't know, it kind of looks like Haiti out front right now.
Earlier this week, La Plata County officials warned that flat-top roofs were at risk because of the several feet of snow that's fallen in the last few weeks Durango got about 18 inches of snow on Monday. In sports, the Avs lost to the Wild last night, 1-0, and the Rockies signed a one-year deal with slugger Jason Giambi. He'll back up Todd Helton at first base this season. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm Pat Woodard. Now here's Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
Except for a little dense and patchy fogs in the areas, though commute around town is looking pretty good right now. I-25 looks good in all directions. No delays on I-225 or C-470. 36 between here and Boulder. Construction has ceased. They got that bridge replaced, and that's wide open. Quick check of the weather. Patchy fog gives way to sunshine today with a high around 41. Tonight's low will be about 22 with a high of 50. Tomorrow, right now, it's 25. I'm Gary Elba, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Take Care Clinic believes getting well should be just as easy as getting sick. That's why they're offering the H1N1 vaccine for just $18. Stop by for a healthy dose of peace of mind this cold and flu season. Take Care Clinic at select Walgreens. They can take care of that.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. AM760.net.
Bill Press, I mean, you know, this is one of the legendary journalists, at least in his own mind. He's a little left of Stalin, I think.
Get off my phone, you little pinhead!
Shut the F up and step aside, you little piss.
Just shut up, will you?
You shut up.
This is the Bill Press Show.
Oh, my God!
Radio talk show host Bill Press.
In the heezy.
A voice of certainty in an uncertain world.
The fun that's ahead of us here, folks, almost incalculable.
Jobs, jobs, jobs. That's the president's focus, continuing after the State of the Union with Tampa yesterday on light rail, not light rail, high-speed rail. And today up in Baltimore, the president announcing a $5,000 tax credit for small businesses for each new hire. You hire a new person, you get $5,000 tax credit up to $500,000. Good initiative, good program, good plan, and the president's on the absolute right track. Hello, everybody. It is Friday, January 29. This is the Bill Press Show, and we're coming to you live, coast to coast. We're starting out here in our little radio factory on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C., just down the street from the United States Capitol Building. Good to see you today. You want to join the conversation, weigh in on the issues of the day, 866-55-PRESS is our toll-free number, 866-55-7737. Got a lot going on today. Peter Ogburn and Dan Henning, they even came to work today. They were so excited about today's lineup.
God, I'm excited.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Friday.
Yeah.
I was just going to stay home and not call or anything, but I said, nah, I'm going
to
come in.
You got to come in. Yeah. So, you know why? You had to come in because you wanted to talk to Brent Budowski. All right. Well, hey, we got a little treat for you here, folks. Start off the hour. So before we get into the heavy news of the hour. So here's the deal. You've heard us maybe one of these before, but we've got this weird thing that our phone number in the studio is where guests call in is one digit off. I guess what the Supreme Court is. Or maybe it's an old number for the Supreme Court. Every once in a while, people call here thinking they're calling the Supreme Court. Peter Ogburn, who's really not a nice person.
I think he's fantastic, really.
Well, he has an evil mind. A twisted mind, shall we say.
I can't.
So he put together a whole collection of clips from Barack Obama from when he was reading his book. Because I bought the book on tape, gave it to Peter. He pulled some clips, so he's got this whole collection of Obama clips. And when people call in, he tries to trick them into thinking he's going to transfer them to the Supreme Court and then they or to the White House, and then they end up having a conversation, they think, with President Obama. Yesterday, Brent Budowski called. He is a columnist for the Hill newspaper, very good columnist, writes really good stuff, a good, strong liberal. But he got tricked by Peter. He thought he was actually talking to President Obama. So he's writing a column about the Supreme Court decision on campaign finance. He calls the Supreme Court. Peter transfers him to the White House, and here we go.
Hang on for a minute. Just one more second. I'm sorry. Who did you say you were?
Yeah, Brent Budowski, B-U-D-O-W-S-K-Y. I'm a columnist for the Hill newspaper.
All right. I'm afraid I'm going to have to transfer you to the White House. Hang on one moment.
The White House? Hello? Who am I speaking to?
I'm Barack Obama. I'm sorry, who did you say you were?
Yeah, this is Brent Budowski. Who is this?
I'm Barack Obama.
You're kidding.
You know Barack, don't you?
I do.
I hear you had a question for me. We wanted to call up and answer it personally.
Oh, it's about the Supreme Court decision, and I'm writing a column on it. I happen to agree with your position, but I had one or two questions about what I was going to write and whether you had any reaction.
You have some good ideas. Maybe if you join the church, you could help us start a community program. Why don't you come by on Sunday?
Yeah, well, how would you feel about an American Elections for Americans Only Act, which is what I'm proposing in my column, that would limit campaign donations to companies that have outside foreign capital coming in through direct investment or other relationships? That's my question. A specific bill consistent with your speech last night, and I'm looking for any quotes or reaction.
I don't know.
Well, what would you suggest?
Hello. So what happens when we go out to a party with some sisters, huh? What happens? I tell you what happens. Blam! They're on us like there's no tomorrow. High school chicks, university chicks, it don't matter. They're acting sweet, all smiles. Sure, you can have my number, baby.
Yeah, hello?
Hello?
Yeah, what email should I... I'll send you what I wrote on the internet. That'll be the
basis. Sorry, go ahead.
What's the email I should send it to you?
Damn it, Bear. You can't just sit around like some good time Charlie waiting for luck to see you through.
Excuse me?
Yeah, that's what you said the last time.
Hello?
Next thing I know, she's hooked up with Steve No Neck Yamaguchi. Two of them all holding hand like a couple of lovebirds. You've lost your way, brother.
By that time, Brent Podesta has enough, and he hangs up. But that's really President Obama, then Barack Obama, Senator, reading the transcript of, or the text of his book, Dreams from My Father. By the way, great read. He won a Grammy for reading it, because he does all the voices. But very, very funny, and Brent Podesta walked right into Peter Ogburn's trap and gave us his permission, though. He's a good sport to play that for you. On the air. I just wonder how long I would last in that conversation. I mean, how long, when I would have picked it up. I would hope right from the beginning.
You would hope, but, you know, you never know.
Never know. Sorry. I like what he says. What's your email? I'll send it to you. Hey, 12 minutes after the hour or so, the President of the United States in his State of the Union, surprising a lot of people, particularly people on the left, when he said, hey, I got an answer for this, our deficit problems, our financial problems. Part of the answer is we're going to have a spending freeze. Pretty surprising, because during the campaign when John McCain proposed a spending freeze, President Obama said it was a dumb idea. One of the people I've heard writing about this move of the president's, not too happy with it. Bob Borisage is the co-director of the Campaign for America's Future, good friend of the program. Bob, good to have you back. How are you?
Good morning. I'm terrific.
So, you know, when I was working for Jerry Brown, way, way back, right, governor of California, and we had to put the annual budget together, what we did is we sat down, we looked at every program, we said, this one makes sense, this one doesn't, here we can trim a little bit, here we have to add a little bit. You make some tough decisions. That's what budgeting is all about. A freeze is just the opposite of good budgeting, isn't it?
Yeah. Now, to be fair to the president, he says that under the freeze, he's going to go through that process and make choices. You know, he's going to put a lid on spending, and then he's going to make choices underneath it and put more money in the things that he likes and we need, and less money into programs that are wasteful. But the problem is this is a symbolic gesture that has nothing to do with deficits. And in fact, we should be focused, as the president was to some extent in his State of the Union, on jobs, not on deficits. We need to be spending more money, and in fact borrowing more money, to put people to work now to get this economy going. And that's when the economy gets going, then we can start to turn our attention to deficits. And so to put this out now is both only symbolic, and it's the wrong symbol. It takes us in the wrong direction.
It's sort of a Herbert Hoover move, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a total Herbert Hoover move, and it focuses on the part of the budget, ironically, that is non-security discretionary spending. Doesn't include the entitlements, doesn't include the Veterans Administration, doesn't include the military. It's the part of the budget that has been under assault by conservatives for 30 years. And the reality is, as the president says elsewhere, we need to make investments in education and in science and research and in 21st century infrastructure that are vital to the new economy that we have to build out of the ruins of the old one. And to put a freeze on that goes against the entire set of priorities that the president correctly has laid out.
And it also sort of perpetuates this myth, I guess is the point you're making, right, that discretionary, non-military discretionary spending is the root of our problems.
Right, and it has both nothing to do with our deficits. It's too, you know, it's about
it's too small.
The area that he's talking is about 1/8 of the budget. So 12 or 13% of the budget is not the problem, and it's the area that needs the most funding. If you wanted to look at waste in the federal government, you'd go to the military, which can't even audit its books. And if you wanted to look at where spending is exploding, you'd look at the military on the one side and then the top-end tax cuts that have devastated us.
So here's what I don't understand, Bob. I mean, this is a smart president and a smart operation, smart people around him, right? So with the spending freeze, on the one hand, it is it hits some good programs and singles them out. And on the other hand, it exempts so much, you know, the military, the Veterans Affairs, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, the president's own priorities, he says, whatever that means, right, that you get down to it really doesn't do anything and is purely symbolic. Why would they even propose it?
Well, clearly the polls are showing that independents are worried about deficits, and so they wanted to do something symbolic about the deficit. And, in fact, I just think, you know, you've got to have that argument. We're in the midst of the worst economic downturn since the Great Depression. We have 1 out of 5 people either unemployed or underemployed. We have to put them to work. And once they're back to work, once the economy gets going and the private economy can then kickstart and start to do investment,
yeah,
then we ought to turn our attention to the public investments we need to sustain long-term growth and build a new foundation for our economy. And to you know, balancing the budget. But, you know, once we get the economy growing, growth will, in fact, play a huge portion in helping to balance the budget, much more than putting a freeze on domestic spending.
And the way to get the economy going and the way to get those jobs means, for the time being at least, spending more money,
yeah,
right?
You have no choice, because the businesses aren't going to invest when people aren't employed. Consumers have lost $10 trillion in assets, and so they're tightening their belts. State and local governments have to cut their budgets. The only thing that's going to get this thing moving is more borrowing at the federal level. And one thing that's interesting is we can borrow now at almost record low interest rates. So it's not like the world is saying your deficits are too big, we're not going to loan you any money.
Mm-hmm.
Americans are moving their money into bonds, and we can borrow at record low interest rates, and we ought to be doing it to put people to work.
Bob Borisaj is our guest. He's co-director of the Campaign for America's Future, the website. Read more about Bob, what Bob's been writing about this issue. And proposing at www.ourfuture.org. So, Bob, how big is the deficit today projected to be this year? Is it
about 12% of GDP, at about $1.6 trillion?
Never been anywhere close to that, of course.
Well, much bigger during World War II.
World War II,
percentage,
I guess,
of the budget. You know, in emergencies like the Great Depression or World War II, governments have no choice but to borrow large amounts of money. World War II, we borrowed about 25% of GDP every year to fight the war.
Mm-hmm.
And then we came out of the war with about 120% GDP debt. But growth over the next 25 years, based on the investments we made in the war in planes and trains and then highways under Eisenhower, et cetera, growth brought that down to like 27% of GDP over 15 years. That's what we ought to be thinking about now. We've got to increase the deficit now, and then when we get the economy growing over time, it will come down as a percentage of our economy.
Bob, good to visit with you again. I read you often on Huffington Post. Good work, as always. And again, direct our listeners to ourfuture.org. Bob Borisaj, Campaign for America's Future. Thanks, Bob.
Be of cheer. Take care.
All right. Talk to you again. And when we come back, our favorite part of the week, our clips of the week.
The official morning show of the Obama generation.
The Bill Press Show. You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. AM760.net.
Individual results may vary. Program not available in all states. See contract for complete terms.
If your credit card debt is out of control, if you're in over your head dealing with monthly payments, there is powerful information you need to know about the government's bailout of credit card companies. If you have more than $10,000 in credit card debt, you have the right to settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe with monthly payments you can afford. Credit card companies have been given billions and need to clean their books once and for all. And that's great news for you. We're Credit Answers, and we'd like to offer you free information that will show you how to settle your credit card debt with payment plans customized for you. It's yours free by calling 1-800-600-9526. Don't declare bankruptcy. Give us 10 minutes and learn how we have saved our clients millions. Live better, debt-free. For free information on how to settle your credit card debt in a government bailout era, call 1-800-600-9526. That's 1-800-600-9526. 1-800-600-9526.
Thanks for calling Sears Automotive Center.
Can you fix my car?
Well, at Sears, our ASE-certified blue automotive crew mechanics know cars inside and out. We'll find the problem and give you the best price, guaranteed.
Brakes?
Yes.
Tires?
Yep.
Struts?
Of course.
Oil changes?
Totally.
Helsinki smash rod?
You just made that word up, sir.
You're good.
Come into the Sears Automotive Center for our real-time price checks and get the best price guaranteed. Plus, come in now through February 7th and get a Valvoline oil change for only $19.99 with no hidden fees. That's right, just $19.99. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Sears. Life well spent.
To get relief for joint pain, do you take Tylenol, Aleve, Advil? Which one do you think has the medicine doctors recommend most for joint pain? The fact is, the medicine in Advil is the number one doctor recommendation for joint pain, more than the medicines in Tylenol or Aleve. So next time you're choosing a pain reliever, remember the facts. Relief doesn't get any better than this. Advil.
Doctor recommendation claim among OTC pain relievers. Use as directed. Brands are trademarks of their respective owners.
I've got a 1040, not so easy, it makes no sense to me. A W-2 1099, so many forms, so little time. Federal, state, FICA, they take my money, who the heck are they? The paperwork is such a mess, will I owe the IRS? Somebody help me.
eFile.com is here to help you. Prepare and e-file your taxes now at eFile.com. Start with the free federal edition. Faster refunds at eFile.com.
Winter driving, it's just not normal. When there's ice and snow, take it slow. Along with slippery streets and highways, huge snow plows are often out there trying to keep the roads clear. Snow plows are large and powerful, maneuver slowly and plow far and wide. Very wide. Slow down when approaching a snow plow. They're likely traveling slower than the posted speed limit. Also, don't tailgate or stop too close behind because they frequently back up, especially at intersections. A snowplow driver's view is restricted, so never assume that the driver sees you. Plows can also throw up a cloud of snow that can cause whiteout conditions and reduce visibility to zero, so use extreme caution when passing. In fact, the road behind the plow will be safer for you to drive on. If you do pass, watch out for plow blades. They're not only on the front of the plow, but a wing plow may project from the side of the truck. Best advice, ice and snow. Take it slow, especially around snow plows.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
Without the security of gold. Nowadays, most of us have never seen a classic U.S. gold coin. But recently, a secret hoard of gleaming U.S. gold coins was discovered, all uncirculated and minted between 1866 and 1933. The New York Mint will be releasing these coins to the public on a first-come, first-served basis. Don't be without gold. While you still can, call for free historical information and the free collector's DVD. 1-800-300-5798. Again, 1-800-300-5798.
Sirota, mornings at 7. Mario, afternoons at 4 on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
This is the Bill Press Show.
Hey, musical chairs this morning, seems like it. Anna Berger from the SEIU, Secretary Treasurer, coming up next on the Bill Press Show in the next segment. And then Jane Dyer, congressional candidate from South Carolina. Meanwhile, here we are on a Friday. And every Friday we like to look back at some of those favorite little sound bites you heard during the week, our favorites and yours. We start the bottom, work our way up to the top, starting today with Conan O'Brien, on last Friday, his last day, says we got one more hour left. He'll tell you what he's going to do.
Number five.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have exactly 1 hour to steal every single item in this studio.
And remember, he had those special characters there for the last week that was costing NBC a lot of money. Well, down in South Carolina, the reason they didn't impeach Mark Sanford is because they would have got stuck with that total Looney Tunes lieutenant governor by the name of Andre Bauer, who told us all last week what he thinks about poor people.
Number four.
My grandmother was not a highly educated woman, but she told me as a small child to quit feeding stray animals. You know why? Because they breed. You're facilitating the problem. If you give an animal or a person ample food supply, they will reproduce. Especially one that don't think too much further than that. And so what you've got to do is you've got to curtail that type of behavior. They don't know any better.
Yeah, that's right. Those poor people, all they do, don't give them any food because they'll just go out and copulate and make more little poor people.
They don't think much further than that.
They don't think much further than that. No, in fact, and what got all the attention in the Supreme Court, as we discussed a lot in the last hour, was the president sticking it right to the Supreme Court.
Number three.
With all due deference to separation of powers.
Uh-huh.
Last week, the Supreme Court reversed a century of law that I believe will open the floodgates for special interests, including foreign corporations, to spend without limit in our elections.
So take that, and they were sitting right in the front row in their long robes. By the way, that phrase, with all due deference to, that was not in the speech. He ad-libbed that. He's a professor of constitutional law at the University of Chicago, and he knew he was getting a little thin ice there. He wanted to be sure that he showed a little respect before he socked it to him. And yes, though, the latest news about John Edwards and Riel Hunter, they not only had a baby, they made a movie about it. Andrew Young, a former aide to John Edwards, has a new book out called The Politician, tells us what they discovered in the collection.
Number two.
There was one tape that was marked special, and we're just aghast. It's a sex tape of Riel and John Edwards. Made just a couple of months before the Iowa caucuses.
You know what Nixon said? Burn the tapes. Well, at least we don't have a sex tape of Nixon.
Here's
I don't
what
want
I'll
to
do.
See a sex tape of John
oh
Edwards
my God.
Either. Jesus.
Here's what I'll do. I'll write special on it. No one will wonder
right.
what's on the tape.
I'll write special on it. So now we know why John Edwards fled to Haiti, but he couldn't escape the reporters, not even in Haiti.
Number one.
You're not going to answer that? Okay, that's fine. I mean, as long as I try to ask.
I made a statement about it, so.
You made a statement?
They know it. They know it. It was public. Very public.
It was public.
Back in the States.
Yeah. All right. There we go. Hey, very quickly, I just want to mention the passing of a giant of American literature, J.D. Salinger, author, of course, of Catcher in the Rye, who died yesterday. And earlier in the week, Howard Zinn. I have to tell you, I think one of the best books certainly I ever read, Howard Zinn's People's History of the United States. He really tells the history of the United States the way it is, talking about, workers, the story of workers and women and minorities and those people that most history books don't talk about. Howard Zinn, a real giant. People's History of the United States. If you've never read it, go out and do so. Buy it today.
This is the Bill Press Show. This is a special alert to all Americans who own a vehicle with less than 120,000 miles, with an auto warranty about to expire, or no warranty coverage at all. Due to a decline in the economy and major car companies filing for bankruptcy, Cover America Auto Care has announced revolutionary, inexpensive mechanical breakdown coverage that is now available to the general public to save consumers thousands on auto repairs. An open phone line has been established for drivers to call who own a vehicle that is less than 10 years old for a free 5-minute quote and to see if you qualify. The number is 800-632-1443. Drivers who are covered with this auto protection will not have to pay for a covered repair again. This is the auto coverage now sweeping across America at a fraction of what dealerships charge and is now available to the public by calling today. The number to call is 800-632-1443. 800-632-1443. That's 800-632-1443.
Live from Progressive.
Next on the line is Jake.
Hey, Flo. Years ago, I just went with my dad's auto insurance company. Could I be paying too much?
Maybe. But when we compare Progressive Direct rates to other top companies, you could save hundreds.
Hundreds!
Hundreds!
Hundreds! Is there an echo in here?
Compare and save. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or go to progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations.
Winter driving can be a real challenge. If there's ice and snow, take it slow. Even if you have an SUV with four-wheel drive, it doesn't mean you'll be able to stop any faster or maintain control any better once you lose traction. Four-wheel drive may get you going faster, but it won't help you stop any sooner. No matter what type of vehicle you're driving, accelerate gradually and avoid abrupt steering maneuvers that could cause you to slide. Allow extra distance between you and the vehicle ahead. It takes more time and distance to stop in adverse conditions, so when you need to slow down or stop, if you have anti-lock brakes, depress the pedal and let the brakes do the work. Don't pump them yourself. If roads are slippery, turn off the cruise. Keep your own feel for the road. And before you leave, check road conditions. Safe drivers know the weather and they know their limits. If the weather's bad, stay where you are until conditions improve.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
Driving in winter requires preparation because you never know when you may find yourself stranded. Before the first snows begin to fall, check your vehicle's tires, brakes, fluids, wiper blades, lights, belts, and hoses to make sure they're in good shape. A breakdown is bad on a good day, dangerous in a snowstorm. Before venturing out onto snowy roadways, make sure you've cleared the snow from all the vehicle's windows and lights, including brake lights and turn signals. Make sure you can see and be seen. And prepare an emergency kit, including things like a blanket, sand, or cat litter for extra traction, additional warm caps and gloves, some food and water, and a cell phone. Before you go, check out road and weather conditions to help plan your route and departure time, giving yourself plenty of extra time to get where you're going. Above all, know your limits. If the weather's bad, stay home.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
Learn a new language that will give you a free demo.
To get your free demo from Rosetta Stone, call now. 1-800-400-4943. 1-800-400-4943. 1-800-400-4943.
Listen to AM 760 on your cell phone. Just download the app at am760.net.
Once again, 800-603-8924 to take control of your heating bills with Eden Pure. Operators are standing by, so call now.
Bill Press Show. 33 minutes after the hour now on this Friday, January 29. Welcome back, everybody. It is the Bill Press Show. We are live and coming to you live coast to coast from our little radio studio here on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C., our nation's capital. Jobs, jobs, jobs. That is the president's focus in the State of the Union and since the State of the Union. Down in Tampa, Florida, helping launch a high-speed rail, new high-speed rail project from Tampa to Orlando and on down to Miami. And today, up in Baltimore, where he will announce a $5,000 tax credit for small businesses, a $5,000 tax credit for every new person they hire, all part of the effort to turn the job situation around in this country. How's he doing? We want to check in with one of the leaders of the organized labor movement here in the United States, Secretary Treasurer of the SEIU and Chair of the Labor Coalition Change to Win, Anna Berger. Hey, Anna, good morning.
Good morning. It's great to be with you.
Thank you. Thanks for joining us. I think your first visit with us, so I hope that's a good sign. Have you back off it. Let's start with the job situation. The latest figures I saw, what was December, was still down 80,000 jobs. It's a big improvement from where we started 2009. but still a long way to go. Are we going to be able to turn it around this year? What's your take?
Well, I think, you know, the numbers also mask how massive this job loss has been over a period of time. If you think about it, one out of five workers is either underemployed or unemployed.
Mm.
If you put the underemployed and unemployed all in our states, it would be 18 states of people. And so it was a massive problem. But I think the president was incredibly strong the other night in terms of a jobs program. And what we need to do is keep people working. We have to create more jobs, and we have to create the jobs for the 21st century as well. And I think that he laid out a plan of doing that, and I think that is a plan that some of us have been talking about for a while. And now it's time for Congress to act. It's about keeping people working. We need fiscal relief for the states and local governments to keep critical public services working. We can't afford to lose 900,000 more jobs, and if we don't do that, that will happen. We need to do infrastructure. There are lots of projects that need to be done in our communities, whether it's school repairs, road repairs, water bill systems that need to be rebuilt, and we can do that. We can put those programs to work. And I also think the whole effort on retrofitting America, retrofitting our homes, making them energy efficient, and our public buildings and our commercial properties and our industrial parks could also create jobs, be good for our short-term and long-term, and we could be the, you know, energy creators for the future. So I think it's also all about how do we create the jobs that we really need now and in the future.
Has the stimulus worked to create jobs?
Yeah, well, first of all, it kept a lot of people working. And so we shouldn't miss that part of it, which was an incredibly important thing. And then it also began to create jobs. There are people who were doing work on roads and bridges and rebuilding our schools across America as a result of that. And there are real stories out there in the communities. And I know I've seen signs on the sides of the roads, too, about this project being there because of the economic recovery. I think, you know, some of it was keeping people working, so it was they didn't see the job loss. But there were lots of school workers who would not have been there. There would have been classes that would have been cut if we had not been able to do this.
No, I hear critics all the time say, well, that keeping people in jobs doesn't count. But damn it, it does. I mean, if you have cops or firemen or, you know, municipal employees or teachers, as you point out, I mean, those are families who would be hurting. And the workers without jobs, without the stimulus, right?
Right, and without money to pay for the community. So
yes.
People who couldn't have bought the pizza from the pizza shop or gotten their dry cleaning done or all the other things that are connected to it. The reality is to get our economy going again, we need to get people working again so they can be spending again. And the only way that we're going to be able to get out of this economic crisis is to put people to work. And so keeping them working is an important piece of it, but also creating the next generation of jobs to get all of those people who are now looking for jobs or have given up looking for jobs back in the workforce is really important for our whole economy. And I think the whole area of job creation, whether it's in human services, it's in construction, it's in health care. I mean, let's be serious. When we pass this health care bill, and I think that was another strong message that the president gave us the other day, we're not quitters. He's not a quitter. We need to get this done. When we add 36 million or so people to the health care rolls, it's going to be a job creator. We're going to be able to provide health care in a much more effective way, and I think it's going to be creating jobs for the future as well. It is one of the fastest-growing occupations in health care workers in our country, and we can actually make these good jobs, too.
Anna Berger is our guest. She is the Secretary-Treasurer of SEIU. Nobody has been pushing harder for health care reform, I have to say, than you and Andy Stern, the president of SEIU. And I know you're close to the president, and you've been a part of those conversations at the White House. Do you believe, Anna, that we're going to get a health care bill this year, or after Massachusetts, is it dead?
We are going to get a health care bill this year. And it is not dead. We have never been this close to passing health care reform in our country's history.
Is it going to be a good bill?
It's going to be a good bill. And it's going to be a bill that it's going to be a good bill, and it's going to be a bill that we can build on. The reality is we passed a bill in the Senate that needed some work. We passed a bill in the House that was very good. It still needed some work. We had meetings between the House and the Senate and the White House that were very close to a resolution. They can get this done. The reality also is that we do not need 60 votes in the Senate to finish the health care bill. We can do it with 51 votes on reconciliation. We can bring these people together. We can get this done. And I believe that we're going to.
Oh,
they can't walk away from it.
Yeah, no, absolutely right. How about the tax on benefits, which many labor leaders were not, understandably, not happy with? Is that gone?
I think so. I believe that we had actually worked very hard to make sure that the tax on benefits was not a tax on just benefits and working people. You know, one of the things that the Senate had said is they wanted to tax Cadillac plans. Well, what we had said was they were actually taxing Chevy plans. They were taxing plans of hardworking people that cost a lot because of our health care system, and that that wasn't fair. And I thought that we had worked through a solution to make sure that we were not taxing the cost of the plans, that we were actually coming up with a mechanism to bring those costs down. And I think that we'll be able to do that.
You know, I saw a story, maybe it was last week in the New York Times, I wanted to ask about Anna, that said that for the first time, in terms of organized labor, right, public employees are the largest workforce now, larger than manufacturing, and it always was manufacturing in this country. What does that mean for the state of American workers today?
Well, it's not good, but it also is the perfect example of why we need labor law reform. In America, the reality is when public workers want to organize and have a union, they can. Employers don't usually hire anti-union consultants. They don't usually threaten, fire, and intimidate workers when they want to have a union. And so they can get one.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why more and more public workers have been organizing, because the reality is across America, workers want to have a union. The problem in the private sector is that when workers want to have a union, usually employers hire anti-union firms to come in to teach their managers how to intimidate, threaten, and coerce workers so they can have a union. And so workers go through incredible struggles to try to have a union. It is not a good thing when only the public sector workers can have a union. Private sector workers need to be able to have a voice in their communities, in their workplaces. They need to be able to bargain, to share in the prosperity of their companies. They need to be able to have a say on their job about how to be more effective. And we need to change labor law reform so that we can bring them up.
And yeah, and so it reflects the loss of the manufacturing base in this country. It also reflects the unfair conditions under which people, those workers in the private sector, try to form a union, as you just pointed out, which gets us to the Employee Free Choice Act, which we were hoping would correct some of those problems and give people a choice, a real choice. And yet there was no action on that in 2009. Are we going to get it this year?
I believe so. I think it's going to be hard because we don't have 60 votes in the Senate, so we've got to convince a Republican, or we've got to convince the leadership in the House that they're not going to allow filibusters to stop everything.
Mm-hmm.
Because overwhelmingly, workers in America want to have a union. They believe that when people want to have a union, they should be able to have a union, and I think they should be able to get a contract. So the principles of the Employee Free Choice Act are very simple and very clear, and I think that we could be a drumbeat to push the Senate to act. So I'm not pessimistic.
One final question I have for you. SEIU has been in the forefront of trying to working with Walmart to try and get Walmart to do the right thing by its employees. Has Walmart improved its relations with employees? Or any reason we should feel better about them now?
No. I mean, I think that Walmart workers have a very hard time having their voices heard. I think the UFCW and other has made an incredible effort to try to give them a chance. I think that Walmart, you know, at times will join a coalition like our coalition on healthcare because it will be one issue that we can agree on.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that the situation for workers in Walmart continues to be a struggle. And until we pass labor law reform, it's going to be a challenge. They need to be able to have their voices heard, and it's very hard.
All right. Well, we can count on you to keep on the job, I'm sure of that. Anna Berger, you're a leader in so many fronts. Great to have you there, and thanks so much for your time this morning.
Thank you very much.
All right. Anna Berger, she is chair of Change to Win, the New Labor Coalition, and also secretary-treasurer of SEIU. And when we come back, meet the candidate, Jane Dyer from South Carolina.
The official morning show of the Obama generation, The Bill Press Show.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk. AM760.net.
Excuse me? Like to sample a Luden's throat drop?
Luden's reminds me of being a kid. Snowy days, dragging my sled home after hours of fun, and when I finally got inside, Mom would give me a Luden's to soothe my scratchy throat.
Thank you. So glad you like the Luden's.
I'm not through yet.
Sorry.
For everyday throat irritation, Luden's Wild Cherry Drops. The great taste and soothing relief you never forget. Luden's. It still works wonders.
Thanks for calling Sears Automotive Center.
Can you fix my car?
Well, at Sears, our ASE certified blue automotive crew mechanics know cars inside and out. We'll find the problem and give you the best price, guaranteed.
Brakes?
Yes.
Tires?
Yep.
Struts?
Of course.
Oil changes?
Totally.
Helsinki smash ride?
You just made that word up, sir.
You're good.
Come into the Sears Automotive Center for our real-time price checks and get the best price guaranteed. Plus, come in now through February 7th and get a Valvoline oil change for only $19.99 with no hidden fees. That's right, just $19.99. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Sears. Life well spent.
Mortgages should be illegal because you're getting robbed every month. With a typical $200,000 30-year mortgage, you'll end up paying over $400,000 after interest. Hi, I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth system. My proven system can eliminate your mortgage and all your debts. Let me send you a powerful free CD. For your free CD, call 1-800-449-6151. 1-800-449-6151. 1-800-449-6151.
Senator Michael Bennett is facing a tough choice. There's pressure in Washington to give up the fight to solve global warming. Lobbyists are whispering that it's too hard, that Congress should pass the kind of energy bill we had under George Bush, one that doesn't put a cap on global warming pollution. But this may be the last chance in a generation to solve the climate crisis. We have, for now, enough pro-environment senators of both parties to pass a real limit on global warming pollution. We only need the will to get it done. Scientists tell us we must act now. Senator Bennett, oppose a George Bush-style energy bill. Fight for a real limit on global warming pollution. Fight for a better future. For our children and grandchildren. Sponsored by Environmental Defense Action Fund.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. AM760.net.
AM 760, Progressive Traffic.
Man, this accident on 6th Avenue, really slowing people down. Three-car crash, left-hand side of the highway as you approach Federal. Now these single-digit speeds go all the way back past Wadsworth. That's pretty heavy for us. Also, some really nasty fog out there, especially if you're traveling out in between downtown and DIA. Pena is just brutal from what I hear. Also, southbound 25 filling up in Thornton from Thornton Parkway down to 84th. Your forecast, patchy fog in the AM. That's going to burn off for mostly sunny skies. Highs in the low 40s. Right now, 23 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
This is the Bill Press Show.
14 minutes before the top of the hour, make that 13, the Bill Press Show here on Friday, January 29. Continuing our series of Meet the Candidates, introducing you to some of the most exciting Democratic candidates for Congress across the country. Want to get you to know them and to help them out. Started out with Tommy Sowers out in Missouri. Talked to Chris Duvall from Virginia. Maureen Hackett from Minnesota. All of this information is up on our website, by the way, at BillPressShow.com. And today, another exciting candidate. Want you to meet a great candidate from South Carolina. Running for Congress in South Carolina's 3rd Congressional District. Jane Dyer. Jane, welcome to the program. So tell us, our listeners, tell us a little bit about who Jane Dyer is.
I have had great opportunities, so I've had great experiences. Started off, I grew up, was born and raised here in South Carolina, and attended Clemson University. I had the opportunity to study mechanical engineering many years ago. Then I got selected to go to pilot training in the Air Force. Back then, you know, they didn't have a whole lot of women who got to do that.
Right.
So a great challenge and a great opportunity. And so I served 7 years in the Air Force and got out, and we moved back here. I still fly. You know, you can imagine that is one great job. And I'm a captain at FedEx. I fly an Airbus 300. And I've had the opportunity, I fly mostly domestic, but oftentimes I have had the chance to fly some European.
You know, this is, I'm just curious, I've always wondered this, because I see those FedEx planes, you know, without the windows and everything, so they're just full of cargo, I guess. How many actual people are on a FedEx plane?
Well, it's like most things. When I first started, I flew 727s, and we had 3 crew members. And a lot of that has been computerized, so now on the Airbus, a much bigger airplane, we only have 2 crew members.
No kidding. Wow.
And there are rules that affect that if you're going to fly over so many hours that you need the 3rd crew member. And we fly under exactly the same rules that every other major airline does.
All right. Now, most importantly for us, you are a great Democratic candidate there in the 3rd Congressional District in South Carolina. as you move around the district, as you talk to people, what's on their mind? What are the big issues there?
Well, the glaring issue for not only my district but the country is jobs. South Carolina has 12.6% unemployment. We are fourth in the nation. And the tragedy is no one here is doing anything to help create jobs in our district and our state. So people are really hurting because, as you know, when you lose your job, most people lose their health care. They can't make their mortgage payments. It is a tragic situation, and not only for, you know, the reality of it, but for the children who are living this world of, you know, day-to-day. And oftentimes, you know, we have kids in our schools who are going home hungry.
The president in his State of the Union address talked about jobs, said jobs has to be the top priority this year. So do you think we need another jobs bill?
Well, I think a jobs bill would certainly help. What we have got to do as a country is we have got to have a plan and a focus. And my latest blog, coincidentally, talks about our focus has got to be on science and technology. In the United States, we spend about 6% on research and development. Asia has certainly bypassed us. Some of them spend up to 20% on research and development for science and technology. And science and technology are going to bring us solutions to our energy problems and to our healthcare problems and to our transportation problems. So I'm committed to jobs for not just today but tomorrow that will help us solve these problems and industries that will create jobs here in my district and throughout the country.
Jane Dyer is our guest. She's a candidate, Democratic candidate for Congress in South Carolina's 3rd Congressional District, and her website is Jane Dyer, D-Y-E-R, JaneDyerForCongress.com. Also, in the State of the Union, Jane, you know, the president said health care is very important part of restoring the economy of this country, and he said he was not going to walk away from health care. You'd have a chance to follow this debate, I'm sure, as a candidate. Where do you come down on such things as the public plan option, for example?
Well, let's start with health care in general. As you know, we have South Carolina senators who have said that this will be Obama's Waterloo and that we will break him on this. Well, the tragedy is that American families are being broken because they have no health care. It is 16% of our GDP, 16%, which is a tremendous amount. We have got to find solutions, both Democrats and Republicans together, find solutions that will decrease the cost of health care, that will lower the premiums for people, that will make sure that everybody is covered, everybody is accessible, and that will help ensure Medicare and the care that we give to our seniors. To choose to do nothing, these people need to understand when they're saying no, that for every person who loses their health care, who gets turned down for pre-existing conditions, who, you know, is sick and has no solutions, they need to understand it's those people who said no. Because things will not freeze. It's not going to stay where it is. It will continue to get more and more expensive. So I am all for some program that will make a competitive stand against the health insurance companies.
Jane, go get them. Happy flying, but most importantly, happy campaigning, and look forward to talking to you again and seeing you soon here in Washington. That's Jane Dyer again, candidate for Congress in South Carolina's 3rd Congressional District. All of her information is up in our press box for you to contact her, find out more about her campaign, give her some help at JaneDyerForCongress.com, and I'll be back with a quick parting shot.
The time for bickering is over. The time for games has passed.
You're listening to the official morning show of the Obama generation. This is the Bill Press Show.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk. AM760.net.
Intimate. Individual results may vary. Program not available in all states. See contract for complete terms.
If your credit card debt is out of control, if you're in over your head dealing with monthly payments, there is powerful information you need to know about the government's bailout of credit card companies. If you have more than $10,000 in credit card debt, you have the right to settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe with monthly payments you can afford. Credit card companies have been given billions and need to clean their books once and for all. And that's great news for you. We're Credit Answers, and we'd like to offer you free information that will show you how to settle your credit card debt with payment plans customized for you. It's yours free by calling 1-800-600-9526. Don't declare bankruptcy. Give us 10 minutes and learn how we have saved our clients millions. Live better, debt-free. For free information on how to settle your credit card debt in a government bailout era, call 1-800-600-9526. That's 1-800-600-9526. 1-800-600-9526.
I've got a busy, busy work day ahead of me. I've got loads of emails to catch up on, quick lift at the gym maybe, then I've got to get the word out that GEICO customers could save even more on their car insurance by signing up for other things like homeowners or renters insurance. Extra money you could be putting right in your pocket. That's what I'll tell them. Maybe put some slides together. Right, well, I probably should stop waffling along on the radio here. Put the old nose to the grindstone, eh?
For a fast, easy rate quote on homeowners or renters insurance, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO.
Hey, that stack of money over there with the googly eyes, is that the money you're going to be saving with GEICO?
It's the money I am saving with GEICO. He helped me buy this pool table.
Nice. So what else does he do? Can he tell jokes?
Seriously, Kevin, he's a stack of money. He doesn't tell jokes. He just blinks and buys me stuff.
Oh, well, I just thought...
Money can't talk. That's ridiculous. Why do you always take it too far?
Me?
To get a free rate quote, go to GEICO.com. Then buy online, over the phone, or at your local office.
Rate based on APR of 5.53%. Approval contingent on full underwriting analysis. Check website for licensing information. Premium Capital Funding, LLC, DBA Top Dot Mortgage, 125 Jericho Turnpike, Jericho, New York.
You've worked hard to get where you are. A nice house. A couple of cars in the garage. Unfortunately, you've also got an adjustable rate mortgage that could increase any time. But now you can take control. Because Top Dot Mortgage, an equal housing lender, is now offering FHA 30-year fixed rate loans at the historical low of 4.875%. You could save hundreds of dollars a month. You heard me. Hundreds of dollars a month. At Top Dot, we provide a low-stress, customized approach so you can get the right mortgage to suit your individual needs. And right now, you can get your rate absolutely free. Just call 1-800-500-6244. These historically low fixed rates may only be available for a limited time. For free information, 1-800-500-6244. 1-800-500-6244.
Sirota, mornings at 7. Mario, afternoons at 4. On AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
The Parting Shot with Bill Press. This is the Bill Press Show.
Hey, love meeting those candidates, and we'll have more of them in a couple of weeks from now. Meanwhile, on this Friday, January 29, my parting shot for today... Thursday afternoon, yesterday, there were eight of us, all progressive journalists, seated around a table in a private dining room in the White House mess. Ed Schultz and I were there, plus reporters from Daily Coast, Huffington Post, The American Prospect, Think Progress, and Talking Points Memo. We've been invited for an exclusive one-hour roundtable with presidential advisor David Axelrod. It was our chance to unload on the White House for seeming to ignore its liberal base, and believe me, we did. Ed Schultz went first, wanting to know why Obama spent so much time trying to round up Republican votes when it was clear they were all going to vote against him. I followed up asking why Obama had totally abandoned the public plan option when he once campaigned so hard for it. For the next hour, others piled on over disappointments on health care, the spending freeze, the filibuster, don't ask, don't tell, and a lot of other issues. In the end, Axelrod assured us that the president was sick and tired of game playing by Republicans and from now on was going to expose them publicly as the obstructionists that they are and hold them responsible. The important thing, according to Axelrod, is this. President Obama knows we're there. He knows a lot of us are disappointed, and he wants us to continue speaking out. Believe me, we will. I will, you will. As the president says, we don't quit. That's my parting shot for today, folks. Check the website for the information on all those candidates. Have a great weekend. We'll see you here on Monday.
It's the Bill Press Show.
Blam!
Hey, what's up? Thinking about you. XOXOXO. Want to snuggle. Dot, dot, dot. JK. Hit me back. You getting these texts? Question mark. We should hang later. I miss you. Holla at ya, boy. Holla back. Holla back. Holla back. Are you at home? Where are you? What are you doing? OMG. You are making me mad. Are you with your ex? You better text me back. I'm waiting outside your house.
Relentless, aggressive texting is like sending an angry robot to deliver your message. When does the robot become dangerous? Let us know at thatsnotcool.com.
Thatsnotcool.com.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Turn to the left with AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk, KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder, and AM760.net.
CBS News. I'm Steve Kathan. In a setback to the Obama administration plan to try 9/11 terror suspects in a New York federal court, the Justice Department's been told to look for sites other than the city for the trial of alleged mastermind Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and others. Makes sense to this New Yorker.
City has enough problems. I thought it was a bad idea from the get-go.
CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen.
Because of the enormity of the alleged crimes, there are other perfectly suited venues, including Alexandria, Virginia, where Zacharias Moussaoui was tried, or even Pennsylvania, where Flight 93 met its end.
On Al Jazeera TV, another purported audio tape from Osama bin Laden, second within a week. This one blasts U.S. goods and the dollar and global warming. Closing arguments are set to get underway shortly in the Kansas murder trial of Scott Roeder, the man who admits he shot and killed abortion doctor George Tiller. Reporter Cliff Judy is in Wichita.
Jurors are only going to be able to consider first-degree murder. After we hear jury instructions, defense attorneys and prosecutors will both give their closing arguments, and then this thing is going to be handed over to the jury probably before the lunch break.
Just in from the government, word that the economy grew 5.7% over the last 3 months of the year, the second straight growth quarter and best number since 2003, economist Nigel Galt.
What we're likely to see is employment growing as we go into 2010. That's good news, obviously, for jobs, for consumers, and for the economy.
If you didn't earn much more than the year before, you're not alone. The Labor Department says compensation rose just 1.5% in 2009, smallest amount since they started keeping records 25 years ago. The Obama administration indicates it wants to lead by example when it comes to greenhouse gas emissions. CBS's Peter Mayer is live at the White House.
And Steve, the administration will order an across-the-board 28% reduction in greenhouse gas emissions by the largest energy consumer, the government itself. The cutbacks would be phased in over the next decade. An official describes it as an aggressive target covering 35 agencies. It will ultimately change the way all the federal buildings are heated and cooled, and it will affect the use of tens of thousands of government vehicles. Live at the White House, Peter Mayer, CBS News.
It's Friday, and plenty of us will head for a weekend at the ski slopes. What could be controversial about that? The CBS's Peter King has been looking into what amounts to a snow job.
Well, Steve, two Dartmouth College professors say some U.S. and Canadian ski resorts have been inflating their snow totals by an average of 23% to ensure busy weekends. They say areas with more expert trails were more likely to flood up the numbers. Resort owners, of course, dispute the study. They say official snowfall totals don't always match up with what's on the slopes. Spokesman for Sugarbush in Vermont says, besides, if you overreport, it gets around quickly, Steve.
Snow and ice in the southern plains today causing accidents, flight delays, and power outages in several states. Wall Street before the bell, S&P futures up 7.5. This is CBS News.
Thanks for calling Sears Automotive Center.
Can you fix my car?
Well, at Sears, our ASE-certified blue automotive crew mechanics know cars inside and out. We'll find the problem and give you the best price, guaranteed.
Brakes?
Yes.
Tires?
Yep.
Struts?
Of course.
Oil changes?
Totally.
Helsinki smash ride?
You just made that word up, sir.
You're good.
Come into the Sears Automotive Center for our real-time price checks and get the best price guaranteed. Plus, come in now through February 7th and get a Valvoline oil change for only $19.99 with no hidden fees. That's right, just $19.99. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Sears. Life well spent.
Buying a good used car is all about having the right information and facts. And if it's a Honda-certified used car, well, it just got a whole lot easier. Because now you can find out the history, mileage, and the price of the Honda you're looking for without leaving your home. Simply go online and search Google or Yahoo for Honda certified used cars. You'll see the current selection at the Honda dealers nearest you, along with the information you need to make the right choice. Honda certified used cars. It may be used, but it's still a Honda.
I'm Pat Woodard with an AM 760 local news update. A medical marijuana testing lab in Denver is being ordered to turn over all patient and customer records after being raided by federal drug agents. Full Spectrum Laboratories does potency testing for medical pot dispensaries. Marijuana advocates accuse the feds of continued harassment. An anti-hate banner is no longer hanging at Wheatland High School in Wyoming. That's after a number of parents complained it represented a gay marriage agenda.
And my main intent was to take it down and take a look at the program and see what we're actually doing, and then the kids wanted the board to make the decision, and they did.
Superintendent Stuart Nelson talking with our partners at 9 News. The banner was sponsored by the Gay and Lesbian Fund for Colorado. Members of the Anti-Defamation League say the banner was hung up to promote tolerance. In sports, the Nuggets are in Oklahoma City tonight trying to win their ninth game in a row. The Avs play the Stars tonight in Dallas. They lost to the Wild last night, 1-0. And the Rockies have signed a one-year deal with slugger Jason Giambi. He'll back up Todd Helton at first base this season. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm Pat Woodard. Now here's Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
Watch out for an accident. This is a big one. It's eastbound 6th Avenue on that approach to Federal. Three cars involved on the left side of the road. We're seeing delays that are stretching back towards Kipling. So you're going to find that taking at least an extra half hour as you're trying to get Denver bound from the Lakewood area. Eastbound 270, loading up and slowing down 76 towards Vasquez. Now, what you're also going to find as you're out and about is dry pavement, but very foggy conditions, especially if you're cruising out to DIA. Sounds like Pena Boulevard's moving along pretty slowly with people even driving with their hazards on. Quick check on today's forecast. That fog should start to burn off by 8 o'clock, but for the time being, you're going to find it. We can expect a high of around 40. Currently, it's 23. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760. Progressive Talk.
Start feeling better today. NextCare Urgent Care offers multiple walk-in locations for immediate caring and affordable health care, including conclusive H1N1 and seasonal flu testing. All major insurance accepted, including Medicare and Medicaid. Call 1-800-NEXTCARE or visit NextCare.com today.
Sirota is not your garden variety liberal.
David Sirota.
He's bright, he's intelligent, he is very committed.
On AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Bye, bye, bye.
706 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I can't see out the window. I mean, there's just a wall. It's like, you ever see the movie preview for The Mist?
Yeah.
I never saw The Mist. It looked really frightening.
Yes, it is.
It looks like The Mist out there.
We've been getting reports. You know, a lot of people are heading out towards DIA this morning.
Yeah.
They're saying that the fog out there is the thickest they've ever seen.
Wow. Wow.
So, yeah, be very careful this morning. It's extremely foggy, but should burn off, hopefully.
Well,
We got a
really packed show for people today. In the fog of the news, we're going to get into Colorado Springs. Now, we talked earlier this week about Colorado Springs and the homeless situation down there. Well, one of the bastions of supposed family values, religious family values, is now giving the homeless one-way tickets out of town. How moral and caring and compassionate is that? I'm obviously being sarcastic. So we're going to discuss that in the first hour. Then at 8, we're going to be joined by Drew Bixby. He's got a new book out, Denver's Best Dive Bars, Drinking and Diving in the Mile High City. If it's Friday, it's Alcohol and Schmuck Day. We're going to be taking your nominations for Schmuck of the Week. You can start sending them in now at am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. You can also give us your nominations when you call in about the topics we're discussing. At 8:40, Governor Bill Ritter will join the show to talk about this big and getting bigger tax fight in the legislature. That fight is continuing to accelerate. It was incredible. I saw a news story about this two nights ago on TV, where, I mean, what's incredible about it is the people coming forward and arguing against these taxes. I mean, the candy guys, right? They're literally arguing. They're literally arguing like an extra couple, 3 cents on a bag of Tootsie Rolls is going to mean 800 jobs lost in Colorado. It's like so.
That's pretty ridiculous. It's like a pretty lame argument.
I'm like almost laughing when I'm watching these arguments. And I actually think Democrats have kind of, whether they knew they were going to do this or not, they've kind of drawn out the anti-tax crowd into making truly ridiculous arguments. So we're going to talk to Governor Ritter about that at 8:40. Then at 9, we'll check in with Christy Harvey for all the stories of the week that we missed.
And Christy Harvey has breaking news. We'll keep everybody hanging on for that. But she has some really important news to break with us.
That's right, breaking personal news. And then at 9:20 in studio, the Avery Brewing Company from Boulder. We're going to be tasting their beers, taking your nominations again for Schmuck of the Week. So start thinking about Schmuck of the Week nominations. I've got a couple on my plate or that I'm at least thinking about. But first, before we get to any of that, I want to take the next 5 to 7 minutes and play you a clip that somebody sent me. It's also posted on our website. Because President Obama is out there today, or actually yesterday, doing some good things, talking about jobs, talking about retooling some tax breaks, using some bailout money in a different way to try to spur job growth. We're going to get into the details of that. But the president's proposals are relatively small bore. That's not to say that they're not great. They are good. They're solid. They're relatively small bore. But I wanted to play this clip from Howard Zinn, the great historian who died this week, to just give you a sense of what the possible should look like, what the possible should be when we talk about what the government can do to create jobs. This is an excerpt of a recent interview he gave to a news organization called TheRealNews.com. You'll hear the questioner talking to him. But I just want to play it in honor of Howard Zinn, in honor of his life, and to just give us some perspective on what we could be doing now and what we should be doing now.
So talk a bit about the bailout, the financial crisis, what you think just happened and what we might be looking at in the next few months.
Well, I've been very disappointed in seeing Obama and McCain joining in supporting the bailout, the giving of $700 billion essentially to the financial institutions, which have already showed their incompetence in doing anything for the economy.
And that's just in the U.S. Apparently, the Brits are apparently going to hand over about $1 trillion. And if you put in the European and Japanese money, the amount of global wealth that's being thrown at this finance sector is
exactly
staggering.
And what this is this is a magnified version of the trickle-down theory. Because after all, what is the problem? The people up on top, including the people who run the financial institutions, they're not suffering, except in the paper sense. And so what if their billion is reduced to 700 million? You say, the people who are suffering are the mortgage holders who are not being able to pay their mortgages, who are losing their homes, people who are losing their jobs as the economy shrinks. And the people who are devoid of health care and who need it, these are the people. That's the root of it. In fact, the root of the economic crisis is today, as it was in the 1930s, the root of it is the enormous gap between the wealth at the top and the insecurity on the bottom. And we went through a period in the 1920s of euphoria. This is the age of prosperity. Well, it wasn't prosperity for everybody because that gap was growing. And we've just gone through in the United States a period where a certain amount of complacency, we're doing very well, the American economic miracle. But the fact is that people have been suffering all along. One out of every five children in the United States throughout these last decades born into poverty. And so the root of it, the root of the problem, is this gap between rich and poor. There's no purchasing power at the bottom.
Except through borrowing.
And so to me, the solution is obvious. And that is you instead of giving $700 billion to financial institutions, you take that money and you give it directly to the people who need it. In other words, the government, instead of dispensing this money, takes hold of this money it was going to give to financial institutions. It's interesting that it suddenly finds the $700 billion when it was, you know, complaining, we don't have any money for this or that. Take the $700 billion, and the government should give that in direct aid to people who are going to lose their homes, not allow anybody to lose their homes. And the government should create millions of jobs for people who need jobs. This was done in the 30s.
Well, the counter argument is this liquidity issue, that there had to be some kind of fueling of the banking system, because the bank-to-bank loans and the whole way the financial sector works had to be unparalyzed. That without that liquidity, everything else would suffer. You don't buy that argument, or
do no? It? No, I think what that does is concentrate on the middle people, that is the financial institutions and their welfare, and you only do that when you have given up on the idea of the government taking a direct hand in the economy. Now we're in a position, we're in a unique position, where we can no longer accept the argument that we mustn't have big government, because the government is acting in a very big way to bail out the rich financial institutions. In fact, we are in a position now to challenge that whole idea, which has been dominant for some time now, the whole idea that we must let the free market and the market system, and we must let that solve the problem. Because we see now the free market is not capable of doing it, so the government steps in with its $700 billion. We're in a position now to challenge that whole idea that big government won't work. It takes some history to understand that we have always had big government in this country, from the making of the U.S. Constitution in 1787 down to the present time. The government has always, almost always, with a few exceptions like in the 30s and the 60s, the government has always been in the service of the wealthy classes. Big governments, subsidies to the railroads and the manufacturers in the form of tariffs, huge grants of land to the railroads, subsidies to the merchant marine, and of course in more recent years, bailouts for Chrysler Corporation, saving the aircraft industry after World War II. The government has always done that.
And massive investment on the military side, which takes up a whole whack of the whole economy.
Exactly. It's interesting that when they say we mustn't have big government, they don't talk about the military, which is the biggest government of all. Yeah. So we're in a position now to say, forget about your argument about big government. It's obvious that we need big government. Big government can do bad things. It can do good things. I mean, we have seen that it could do good things. Social Security is a good government thing. The GI Bill of Rights, which enabled me to go to college and graduate school and millions of others, veterans of World War II, to go to school, very successful government program. The New Deal gave millions of jobs to people who needed jobs. It gave jobs to not only people who built roads and who cleaned up rivers, it hired hundreds of thousands of young people. Instead of giving them guns to fight in a war, it gave them shovels, and they did an awful lot for the infrastructure of the country. The New Deal even hired artists, musicians, writers, composers, playwrights in the federal arts program. So this is what should be done today. The government should use its great power to taxing the wealthy, raising trillions of dollars, which it can do, by taxing the wealthy and diminishing the military budget, and use that money for the people.
So that was Howard Zinn talking about the bailout. And I just think it gives us some perspective about what the government can and cannot do at a time of national economic emergency. There's a lot of talk about how to help a big business. That's been really the story of the first year of the Obama administration. And the good news is that I think President Obama has realized at least the political failure of that. He is moving. Yesterday he gave a speech saying he wants to crack down on the banks. He wants to divert some of the TARP money into small business loans. There was a fascinating question that actually recounted in the Washington Post about that. A small business person stood up and said, you know, I don't really understand why you have decided to try to lend money, have the government give money to banks, to private banks, and the private banks will lend to us. They're not lending to us. Why doesn't the government lend directly to us through things like the Small Business Administration? And Obama said, hey, you know, it's a good question, but the problem is that the Small Business Administration is apparently not equipped enough, not big enough to handle that charge. But it certainly could be. And so I just wanted to play that clip from Howard Zinn to let us step back in the week that he died, and give us some perspective about the possibilities of what we can and cannot do with government. And maybe we are moving in that direction. Maybe President Obama's new shift in tone will start moving public policy in that direction. It's going to be a long and hard slog. You got the House Republicans now making headlines that they are going to oppose any bank tax. We'll get into that today on Friday, here on a foggy Friday morning. Up next, Colorado Springs says the solution, at least through its public policy, to homelessness is to give homeless people a one-way ticket out of town. Is this the way to deal with homelessness? We will get into it after a traffic update with John Turk.
Well, you know what to say, Dave. Cleanliness is closer to God.
Is that what they say?
Yes.
I've never heard
that.
So
maybe that's their thoughts behind this.
But, I mean, where are these people going to go?
Yeah, exactly. Why don't they take that money that they buy those tickets with
and build a shelter? That's right. I mean,
you know, that was my first thought.
I mean,
you know,
we will get into it. I'm sure there's going to be people, and especially people listening down in the Springs. I'm curious in particular about your thoughts as well.
All right. To traffic, it's just a mess on eastbound 6th Avenue. Have a really serious accident. Three cars involved as you approach Federal. It's basically stopped all the way back past Kipling. Now DPD has called for some additional help. So that's just going to get worse for you. If you can avoid 6th Avenue between Lakewood and Denver on the eastbound side, you should do that. Also, stop and go eastbound 270 from 76 to Vasquez. Normal jams building in Highlands Ranch, eastbound C-470, University up to Quebec. Also busy in Aurora, southbound 225, Park Road to 25. Fog seems to be the problem this morning. It's pretty much blanketed the metro area. Visibility can be poor in some areas, especially what I'm hearing out by DIA. Your forecast, foggy and cloudy to start, followed by sunny skies, a high of 42. Saturday and Sunday, mild and sunny with highs in the mid-50s both days. Right now, downtown checking in at 23 degrees. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Right. There is never a good time for your sewer line to plug up. Declare war on that blockage. Drain Solvers provides top-quality drain cleaning and router services and will break through any blockage. Let Drain Solvers camera your sewer pipe for only $79 and clean your drain for $99. Mention this special when you call Drain Solvers, the trenchless pipe repair specialists. Drain Solvers does whatever it takes to solve your plumbing problem. Call 303-423-1000. That's 303-423-1000. Or drainsolvers.com. Access fees may apply.
Do you cringe when you think about your tax return? If so, you're not alone. Go to eFile.com now and prepare and e-file your taxes and get your maximum tax refund faster. eFile.com will guide you through simple, easy-to-understand questions. Just click eFile and you're done. Start with the free federal edition at eFile.com. Less taxing, more yours. Done at eFile.com.
Save money with Bargain Watch at AM760.net. For Valentine's Day, get a $1,000 Bear Creek Salon Beauty Package for only $195. Plus, tons of coupons from businesses all around town. Brought to you by Comcast. Click on Bargain Watch at AM760.net.
All natural ingredients can help dramatically improve your memory, focus, and concentration. See for yourself. Try it risk-free now. Start improving your memory now. Call in the next 10 minutes to try all natural Neurostin before you buy it. Supplies are limited, so get your free trial now at 1-800-600-8199. Phone lines will be open for the next 10 minutes. That number again is 1-800-600-8199.
Surround her with the strength of your love with the Love's Embrace collection, now at Jared.
That's Jared!
Jared is proud to present the new Love's Embrace collection, diamonds in a design created to capture the comfort found in each other's arms. This Valentine's Day, there is surely no more romantic gift. Available as necklaces, rings, or earrings, starting at just $79.99 at Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry.
It can only be Jared.
Find a Jared store or shop anytime at jared.com.
Save money with Bargain Watch at AM760.net. For Valentine's Day, get a $1,000 Bear Creek Salon Beauty Package for only $195. Plus, tons of coupons from businesses all around town. Brought to you by Comcast. Click on Bargain Watch at AM760.net.
Randy Rhodes.
If we're actually going to risk our lives to protect others, you know, on the ground while we're flying, we should get a stipend. You know, we should get paid.
Yeah.
We should be deputized as air marshals. And guess what we're getting instead? We're getting our blankets taken away from us, and I'm going to get to see your package when you walk through the airport.
The Randy Rhodes Show.
For free.
For free.
Weeknights at 7 on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
724 here on AM 760, Progressive Talk. Some housekeeping before we get to our first topic of the day. I just want to, again, invite you, if you are free tomorrow night, 7 p.m., I will be at the Denver Press Club at 1330 Glen Arm Place. We're going to have drinks and a discussion about the state of politics in Colorado, the state of journalism in Colorado. It's open to the public. Again, 7 p.m. Tomorrow night, Saturday night, 1330 Glen Arm Place. I will be there. And I will be having 1 to 4 beers. That's what I'm predicting. 1 to 4 beers will be consumed by me. Also, check our website, am760.net. The must-read of the day, disaster porn. That's right. I write my column, my newspaper column, out in the Fort Collins, Colorado. It'll be in the Denver Post tomorrow. We've linked it up on our website. Disaster porn and Anderson Cooper's black T-shirt. That's right. I wrote a column about Anderson Cooper's black T-shirt. I hope you'll check it out over at am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. And you can also instant message us. Give us your nomination for Schmuck of the Week. I'm still thinking about who my exact Schmuck of the Week is going to be, but I want to open up a discussion about homelessness and the economy. It's on the minds of everyone, obviously, these days, and this caught my eye this morning. Colorado Springs police putting some homeless campers on a one-way bus. This is from the Colorado Springs Gazette. Colorado Springs police are giving some of the area's homeless campers a one-way bus ticket out of town, but they say it's not an attempt to sweep away the camps or dump their residents in another city. Using money from the Salvation Army, the Colorado Springs Police Department's three-man homeless outreach team is buying tickets for campers who want to be closer to family or friends and making sure they have a lifeline, a place to stay, or a program to enter at their destination. Since the program began Wednesday, the team has put three people on a bus with another scheduled to leave today. The officers contact someone at the camper's destination before putting them on a bus to verify that they're not going to be homeless in another location. Now, this is a big controversy in New York City a couple weeks ago. A couple months ago, where the mayor, the billionaire mayor of New York, had his city buying one-way plane tickets for people to get out of the city, homeless people to get out of the city. And this raises a lot of questions, because the way you read this story, it sounds like there's some compassion behind it. And I'm not saying that the police department is trying to be mean. The police department is operating within an economy and a public policy that is dictated to it by politicians. But it raises the bigger question of, is this really how we should be tackling the problem of homelessness, right? I mean, is it really the way we should be tackling homelessness by sending people, moving them geographically? Or is this a way, another way to simply try to illegalize homelessness? And that's what Rudy Giuliani did when he was mayor of New York. Oh, I solved homelessness. I made it illegal to be homeless.
You know, that doesn't solve the underlying problem. And clearly, a lot of cities across the country are dealing with this problem. What do you think? 303-713-7600. Is this humane to give people a one-way ticket out of town? Or is this giving them the big middle finger? Is this sort of gentrification on steroids? Oh, out of sight, out of mind. Turk's nodding his head. You think it's out of sight, out of mind?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. You know, it's not like they're trying to help these folks. And I don't think it's the police department's issue either. I think it's, you know, the people that live in Colorado Springs. Most of them just don't want to see the homeless.
And I think the thing is, I think it's more than they just don't want to see the homeless. It's that Colorado Springs is also a place where anti-tax fervor is huge. I mean, this is, we keep going back to the tax issue, but when you don't have a tax base or tax policies to build revenues for shelters, this is what you get.
How many of those homeless people in Colorado Springs are actually veterans from, like, Fort Carson?
That's a fantastic question.
I mean, Colorado Springs is, like, the most of the population is military.
That's a fantastic question. I bet there's more than a few. And I just, you know, I don't want to harp on taxes too much, but this is why I talk about how taxes are so central to everything that goes on in society. When you have an anti-tax state, when you have an anti-tax movement, when every policy is put through the lens of nobody should pay any more in taxes, then you get a situation where the only thing, or one of the only things you can do when you have a problem like homelessness, is to simply get people one-way tickets, out of sight, out of mind. But maybe you think I'm wrong. Maybe you think this is the humane way to go. Maybe you think this is the right thing to do. What do you think? 303-713-7600. We'll go to the phones. We'll go to Colorado Springs. Ralph. Ralph, how you doing, man?
Hello, David. This call is coming from the Principality of Bruce, the home of rich Christians, Colorado Springs. My schmuck of the week is Obama, and it's for the same reason that you're talking about this topic. That is, we can spend $1 million a soldier to send someone to Afghanistan to provide food, blankets, and help to the Afghani people. I don't begrudge them that. Within 30 minutes of Fountain Creek, where we have people who freeze to death here in the Springs, you've got the mountain division, the mountain post, Fort Carson, that basically is sending our troops at $1 million a piece to Afghanistan. We cannot afford to send any one of those troops at Fort Carson down to Fountain Creek to provide blankets, to provide food, to provide medical help.
That's a really good point, and I didn't even think about it that way, and that's why we love you, Ralph. You always make a good point, and that is just the geography of where the help is going. It's a very, very good point.
And let me give you a second point. Turk is right. He pointed it out, but I know it. Many of those people who are freezing at Fountain Creek right now are the same as the troops at Fort Carson, bar 40 years. They're veterans. We can't afford, or we can't seem to keep our veterans well-fed, well-clothed, and warm. Yet we expect those young guys at Fort Carson to go and die for the rich houses on the hills in the gated communities.
Yeah, and you know, I remember back, and I hate bringing up John Edwards now because he's embarrassed himself so much, but of late. But you remember there was that controversy, what was it, a year, 2 years ago, where he was talking about homeless veterans and sleeping on grates, and Bill O'Reilly said, it's not true. There aren't any homeless veterans out there sleeping on grates at night, and it's. You know, I mean, I think that was part of the media's denialism of the this problem. I mean, the homelessness, that kind of severe destitution is not something we're interested in looking at in any kind of systemic way. And actually, this goes back to my column today, and I hope people will check it out at am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page about disaster porn, right? You see it even in the coverage of Haiti, right? The coverage of Haiti. This island that has been crushed by systemic poverty, the poverty created by so many different things, in part by American and Western foreign policy that has threatened embargo, that has put that country into debt. You don't get any of that contextualized coverage. All you get is the images of death and destruction brought on by this cataclysm, and yet nobody cared about. Nobody cared about that death and destruction that was going on there 1 hour before the earthquake. I mean, it's the right. The Onion headline. It said, you know, media discovers strange island just to the south of the United States. You know, and it's the making fun of this. But the point here is, that crushing poverty, we as a society don't want to look at it. We don't want to see it. We don't want to ask questions about it. The media doesn't want to ask questions about it. And even as we see in Colorado Springs and in New York City doing the same thing, as a matter of public policy, we want the answer to be out of sight, out of mind. And you make a really, really fantastic point about, particularly about the Springs and about the military and about what we're spending our money on and what we could be spending our money on. Ralph, that's why we love you. Thanks for the call, man.
Good day.
Good talking to you. Claire in Loveland. Claire, you're on AM 760.
Hello.
Hi there.
Oh, hi. Hey, I basically agree with what Ralph said and what you said and the whole disaster porn issue. But, you know, I'm wondering if I'm taking an exception with you about what you were saying before about what's going on in Colorado Springs. Do I understand you to say they're taking individuals who have a place to go?
Right, you know? and that's why I asked the question about whether this is a moral move, whether this is a heartfelt move. And I want to be clear, I don't blame the police, because the police have to work in the framework of a political system and of a city council, let's say, and a state government that hasn't given them all that many other alternatives to doing what they're doing. So I'm not blaming the police at all. They're trying to make the best of a horrible situation. My only point is this. If this becomes the way we deal with homelessness, right? Oh, we'll just get people a bus ticket or a plane ticket. If that becomes the method of dealing with homelessness, that's a real problem.
Well, of course it would be, and I certainly wouldn't condone that, and I don't think that's what's happening here. I think what's happening here, based upon what you told me, and that's all I know about it, is that they're taking individuals who say, I have a place to go. If you could just get me there, I won't be homeless anymore. I have family, whatever. I think that's just absolutely humane and a wonderful thing to do on an individual-by-individual basis.
Yeah, I guess what I'm saying, let me put it this way.
I think it sounded like you were really hitting on a group of people down there that we really don't care for too much. Their conservative, sanctimonious attitudes. And it sounded like, it just sounded really nitpicky.
This is exactly what other municipalities are doing on a systemic basis. My point is, I'm not coming up with some crazy theory here that this could burgeon into the way Colorado Springs and the way Colorado deals with homelessness, because that's the way that other places have dealt with homelessness as a matter of public policy.
I think that's the case. They've done that. You know, I was talking to somebody from the L.A. area whose husband is a cop there, and they live in some little town. And, you know, L.A. County, at some point, she said, was taking gang members and out of prison and
that's
shipping
what I'm
them
saying.
Out.
So that's all I'm saying. I'm asking the question about whether this is the first step. I'm asking, whether this is the first step.
I can't subscribe to the slippery slope thing, because that's
let me challenge you and ask you why, because I think the issue with this is that it's not just a charity doing it, right? When it becomes a matter of public policy, when a public institution is doing it, the public institution that works for the city is effectively subsidizing people to leave the city. That is exactly, it's not effectively, that's exactly what's going on.
I think
I think that can raise a question about whether this is going to become the public policy that deals with homelessness.
Here's how I address that. Life is a slippery slope. Everything's a slippery slope. You know, you can't.
Well, then you just said it's not a slippery slope.
If
everything's a slippery slope, how can you then say this one isn't a slippery slope?
Obviously, we can't criticize it on that basis. If everything in life is a slippery slope, we can't criticize this thing for being a slippery slope. Everything is. I mean, you got to watch things. But on an individual basis, if the police department and the city of Colorado Springs, approaches people and says, do you have some place where you can be comfortable and safe and family to take care of you, and you can't get there, they say, yes, you want to go? Here's a ticket. Go. That's not a way to address homelessness in specific. It is a way to help individual homeless people. And I support it. And I really don't think we should criticize them for that.
Okay. That's fair enough. Claire, thanks for the call.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
7:38 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Obviously, this story is bringing out people on both sides of the issue. Do you support Colorado Springs using taxpayer money as a matter of public policy to subsidize people, homeless people, to leave the city? Or is this the city abdicating its responsibility to basic social services and a social safety net? 303-713-7600. We'll take more of your calls up next as well. We'll fill you in on some more local news. President Obama is scheduled to come to Colorado in February to campaign for a candidate in a divisive primary. Tell you about that. Jane Norton, the U.S. Senate candidate, the Republican, Jane Norton denying that she was ever a lobbyist, basically lying straight out. And a crazy yet predictable cell phone call rife with corruption at the state legislature. Stick around for that and our discussion after a traffic update with John Turk.
And crews have cleaned up that crash eastbound 6th Avenue around Federal, but still really slow going there from Lakewood all the way to Denver, beginning around Kipling. Stop-and-go speeds there in the teens and 20s. Also going to be slow going, C-470 across Littleton and Highlands Ranch. University of Quebec, the hot spot right now, speeds in the 30s there. Also heavy in Aurora, southbound side of 225 Mississippi, all the way down to 25. Northbounders hitting the brakes there around Parker Road. Also got a new crash, or actually debris in the road, northbound I-25 near 119. It's causing flat tires there. New crash northbound Santa Fe at Bellevue in Littleton. Forecast, patchy fog in the AM. It's going to burn off for mostly sunny skies. Highs in the low 40s. Right now, 23 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Right now on Examiner.com, the Denver Celebrity Examiner writes about how Carmelo and Lala have set the date. Come on, let's crash the reception. Come on, seriously. Connect with everything you love about Denver at Examiner.com.
Colorado listens, debates, and argues on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. You also get perspective from David Sirota, Ed Schultz, Tom Hartman, Mario Solis Marich, Randy Rhodes, and a host of others. AM 760 is here for the community, and the community shows up here every day. If this was your ad, we'd be listening to it right now. Why not advertise on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk? Go to am760.net, keyword advertise.
Found in each other's arms. This Valentine's Day, there is surely no more romantic gift. Available as necklaces, rings, or earrings, starting at just $79.99 at Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry.
It can only be Jared.
Find a Jared store or shop anytime at jared.com.
My husband's always had dark circles under his eyes. He blames his dad for that. But then his work stress and schedule made them even more noticeable. To add to the problem, he didn't want to use some fancy eye cream made for women. That's why I got him Hydralyze.
Hydralyze is a scientific breakthrough that isn't fancy, it's effective. Developed by a plastic surgeon, Hydralyze visibly erases dark circles and bags, whether they're due to heredity, aging, or fatigue. If the man in your life has dark under-eye circles or bags, do him a favor and call in the next 10 minutes for a free trial of Hydralyze. The number is 1-800-400-5797.
My husband didn't think he had any options. Now he has the solution.
Men and women who've tried clinically proven Hydralyze are amazed at the dramatic results. If you know someone suffering from dark under-eye circles and bags, call in the next 10 minutes for a risk-free trial of Hydralyze. That's a free trial at 1-800-400-5797. 1-800-400-5797.
The Home Depot has lowered prices on items throughout the store, the products you need most. So you save money and get more out of every project you do. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot.
Here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Check our website, am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page, our must read of the day. I hope you'll read it. It's my column about disaster porn and our disaster porn stars. Black t-shirts, safari garb down in Haiti, and how it obscures what the disaster, the man-made disaster in Haiti really was before Haiti became a natural disaster. And I think this disaster porn, again, is an example of how we as a society don't like dealing with homelessness. We don't like dealing with poverty. We just, any way to get it out of sight and out of mind. And the disaster porn is basically a way to exploit the images of poverty down in Haiti, as an example, without asking questions about where it came from. We're going to get to the phones, back to the phones again in a second about this Colorado Springs story. Colorado Springs paying for one-way tickets for people who are homeless down there to leave town. Is this moral or immoral? 303-713-7600. I just want to fill you in on a couple of stories that I promised to fill you in on. This guy might get Schmuck of the Week. House Assistant Minority Leader David Ballmer of Centennial Legislature. The Denver Post reporting that Democratic House Speaker Terrence Carroll said this top Republican leader flagrantly conducted business as usual and checked in with a major donor before casting a vote on a mortgage bill. Ballmer made the call and he sought the advice of former U.S. Senator Bill Armstrong, who's now a big corporate fat cat, on a bill that would create some protections for homeowners in their loans. So this is, I agree, it's business as usual, sort of a glance into how things work, at least on the Republican side in the legislature. They check in with their big corporate donors before they cast their votes. Jane Norton at the Colorado Independent reporting that she is denying she was ever a lobbyist, which is factually untrue. Jane Norton, of course, the Republican, expected Republican nominee for U.S. Senate in Colorado, although Ken Buck just got a big infusion of advertising dollars from the Tea Party folks. So Jane Norton trying to self-immolate herself by lying about what she used to do. And President Obama scheduled to be in Colorado to campaign for Michael Bennett, U.S. Senator Michael Bennett, against former House Speaker Andrew Romanoff in that upcoming contested Democratic primary. We're going to talk about Michael Bennett's vote on the floor of the Senate a little later on. Michael Bennett and Mark Udall voting for Ben Bernanke. But we will go back to this question of Colorado Springs and homelessness. Is it a moral way for government to be using taxpayer dollars instead of building shelters or providing some kind of food relief, as an example, instead using taxpayer dollars now to give people one-way tickets out of town if they are homeless? That's what the Colorado Springs police are doing right now, according to the Colorado Springs Gazette. We'll go back to the phones. And on the line, State Senator Linda Newell. Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Dave, how are you doing?
Good.
Good. Happy Friday to you.
You too.
Well, I can say Happy Friday because I have a house. I can have a shelter, and I have food on my table. But I did want to chime in. I think what some of the things that are missing in the conversation are that some of these people are just, they're either mentally ill, they're either, substance or alcohol, reliant, and they also, one in four homeless people are vets. And I think, John Turk mentioned, you know, Fort Carson being so close down there.
Mm-hmm.
And people are not realizing that if you shift these people wherever they're going, they will still need social services because they don't have the job, they don't have the income, so they're still going to need social services wherever they're going, even if they're moving in with a family member. And who says that their family member is going to absorb them into their home? Many of these people don't have family as well. They might be literal orphans.
Now, in fairness to the Colorado Springs police, that they at least this story reports that they are checking in with the family that the folks who are being put on these buses are going to. So now, I don't know what kind of due diligence is actually happening, whether that due diligence can even be comprehensive. But that's at least what the Colorado Springs Gazette reports. I mean, I you're in the legislature. I mean, I just have to ask you, I wonder if you think that this problem, that and it's not just homelessness, but the problem of poverty, is it Tell us how it gets ignored in a legislature, if you think it does. I mean, because I always get the sense that it's always like, you know, I mean, we saw this proposal as just an example of an issue that we talked about here on the show earlier this week, that the business community allegedly came to a couple of legislators and said, hey, instead of getting rid of some of these business tax loopholes, just pass a new grocery tax on everybody. And it just seems to me to reiterate the idea that the average regular person, especially people at the lower end of the income spectrum, are completely ignored at times in our political system.
Right. You are absolutely right. And that is a true story. There was a lobbyist who went to a couple of legislators who said, let's just tax the groceries so that Quest can keep their write-off. It really is very, very sad.
And the expectation, right, is that the business community is organized, politically organized, politically well-funded.
Yeah.
And people who would get hit by a grocery tax like that, just like the homeless, by the way, are obviously, they don't have the free time or the expendable cash to be as well organized at the same time.
Absolutely. And I'll give you a perfect example of this, Dave. Last night, we, in our HHS, Health and Human Services Committee, we had a bill come up that was asking for, which was going to have no fiscal note, by the way, it was asking for the Economic Opportunity and Poverty Reduction Task Force to be able to have measurements of poverty and economic opportunity. Now, the federal poverty level, they're now looking at that standard as possibly being inaccurate. It was developed years and years ago, so our state wants, through this task force, wants to look at what are the measurements of poverty. Nobody's really measuring it. And how do we know really how we're doing as a state and in a county, in a city? So this came to...
Oh, we lost Senator Newell. Well, if and when she calls back, tell her we appreciate the call. And it gives you a sense of who's out there listening to this show. We really appreciate her calling. And we'll go back to the phones. Let's go to Kat in Longmont. Kat, you're on AM760.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Good. Well, we've got a big schmuck of the week up here in Longmont. But let's start with I'm really happy that you just had Senator Newell on because she has so many good points. What bothers me about this Colorado Springs thing, and it bothered me about when New York City did it, was that it's like this attempt to sanitize the problem. And as Senator Newell said, every one of those homeless people has a story. And I don't have a problem with helping somebody get to a place where there maybe are family members who can help them thrive better than they're thriving in Colorado Springs. But it's not a solution. And I think that I wish that what would happen would be that maybe some of this money would be always there and it would always be available for somebody who did have another place to go, but that there's a more comprehensive way of helping the homeless in every community.
Right, and that's my point here, which is that it's being done by a public institution, and it's fair to ask whether this is going to be a matter of public policy in the way the city and this, ultimately the state deals with homelessness. That's what you worry about, right? That's the problem here. I mean, in New York, it became a real big part of the program. And this is not a way to deal with homelessness. This is the same urge to make a public policy out of this as the not in my backyard, right?
Yeah.
It is NIMBYism, as they call it.
And that's exactly what it is. And I have a niece who lives in New York, and she said it hasn't helped at all.
Yeah, I'm sure it absolutely. And I also think there is a subtle message there that says, look, if you're working class, if you're on the edge, if you're economically on the edge, we're not interested in having you here. All right, Kat, you got a schmuck of the week?
Oh, man, do we have a schmuck of the week up here. It's our new mayor who was elected in November. His name is Brian Baum. And actually, if you Google Mayor of Longmont plus YouTube, you can see this guy in action. He has recently done two things. The first thing he did, and I have to back up and say this guy is a global warming naysayer. And he has three cronies on council now who are the same. So the first thing he did was to rescind $150,000 in grant money here in Longmont that was doled out in a lottery to help residents install
solar photovoltaic systems.
Okay, and what else did he do?
Well, he got so much public flack about that he just decided this week that the part of the council where the public's invited to be heard to speak on issues that aren't on the agenda, it's just too long.
I read about this, and when I saw it, I was like, wow, there must be some crazy stuff going on up there in Longmont. A good nomination for Schmuck of the Week. It's always good to talk to you, Kat. Stay warm out there. 752 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Let's get a traffic update with John Turk.
Got a few problems around the town. Southbound I-25 south of the Burthard exit got a crash there. It's messing things up in the Longmont Firestone area. Debris in the road northbound I-25 near 119. That's also causing some flat tires. What the heck's going on in Longmont this morning? Also, three-car crash eastbound 36 near McCaslin. Delays back around Foothills. Also, stop-and-go speeds on 6th Avenue eastbound from Kipling to Federal due to an earlier accident. Fog still an issue. It does look like it's starting to burn off, though. Some of that sun is peeking out. Forecast, foggy and cloudy to start. Sunny skies this afternoon and a high of 42. Saturday and Sunday, mild and sunny with highs in the mid-50s for both days. Right now, we're at 24 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Right now on Examiner.com, the Denver Resumes Examiner gives you tips about how to ask your boss for a raise. Hint. Start with a compliment for 12. Connect with everything you love about Denver at examiner.com.
There's never been a better time to find the home of your dreams. The National Association of Realtors wants you to know the home buyer tax credit has been extended and expanded. Current homeowners can receive a $6,500 tax credit. First-time buyers are still eligible to receive an $8,000 credit. The opportunity of a lifetime ends April 30th. Talk to a realtor for qualification details or visit houselogic.com/homebuyer tax credit. Every market's different. Call a realtor today. Income qualification applies. Only realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Now the internet answers to you. When you use Yahoo Search, it's easier than ever to find the things you're looking for. From that restaurant everyone's buzzing about, to the cool new site you heard a friend mention, to finding the things that matter most to you. Yahoo Search makes it simple to save, share, even add notes to your searches. It's the search you've been searching for. Yahoo Search. Only on Yahoo. It's you. Start your search on Yahoo today.
Yahoo!
Before now's the time we talk to Presidential Brokerage. You can reach the team at Presidential Brokerage, 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. On the line with us, Jason McBride, the Senior Vice President at Presidential Brokerage. Hey, Jason, what's going on in the market today? My bad. Jason, you there?
Good morning.
Hey,
yes,
there.
I
apologize. What's going on in the market today?
That's okay. So far, so good this morning, Dave. We got a good number on gross domestic product. The Dow's up about 80 points. NASDAQ's up about 21. It's going to take a little bit more than that to repair the damage we've seen over the last few trading sessions, Dave. But one of the things that people can look at that's been remarkably accurate over the last 60 years is the January barometer, which says basically how January goes, that's how the market's going to go for the year. So if we're up for January, 9 out of 10 times over the last 60 years, the market has ended up for the year. If we're down in January, the market's done the same thing. And this thing's only been wrong 6 times in the last 60 years. And the way we're rolling right now, Dave, it looks like January is going to be down unless we have a huge update today.
Well, that's an interesting stat. It's almost like a baseball stat, you know. And these things tend to hold trends. 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600 for the team at Presidential Brokerage. It's a lot of ups, a lot of downs, as the Big Lebowski would say. You need a strategy. 303-694-1600. Jason, great to talk to you. Tell the team over there, have a great weekend.
I shall. You too, Dave.
All right, man.
Save money with Bargain Watch at AM760.net. For Valentine's Day, get a $1,000 Bear Creek Salon Beauty Package for only $195. Plus, tons of coupons from businesses all around town. Brought to you by Comcast. Click on Bargain Watch at AM760.net.
756 here on AM760 Progressive Talk. When you hear this story about Colorado Springs using money, the police using money to move the homeless out of town to their family elsewhere, do you think this is a moral move, or do you think this is out of sight, out of mind, and immoral? 303-713-7600. Let's go to Don in Longmont. Don, you're on AM 760.
Hey,
Hey, Dave, it's Linda Newell again.
Oh, hey. We got you back. There we go.
I know. I'm so sorry. I know you're going up against an hour, top of the hour, but I just wanted to say that if they're doing their due diligence, if they can reconnect them with any family, then that's wonderful. But one of the issues is that once you get to the other neighborhood, then those taxpayers are, because chances are they're still going to need some kind of social services. So it is, to your point, just shifting the dollars. And it's only a piece of the pie, or a piece of the puzzle, I should say. So, I'd really like to look at some of those cases and see how much due diligence they're doing.
Well, you are one of the folks in the legislature who's doing right by these kinds of issues. I saw you at the Colorado Consumer Health Initiative dinner, and you gave a great speech then. Keep up the great work there. I know it's a tough session, and these are tough issues. And stay in touch with us, okay?
Great.
Good
Thank
talking you
so
to much. You. Okay. After the break, Denver's best dive bars. That's right. And then also, President Obama on 9/11 victims, a crazy U-turn yesterday, all that after the national news.
There are now more cell phones that stream AM 760. Just go to am760.net and download the app for free. AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk. Streaming live on your cell phone and on am760.net.
The following is a free offer from the Foundation for Healthier Living. Satisfaction is guaranteed.
The Foundation for Healthier Living is now giving away free 2-week trials of a guaranteed weight loss program. If you are concerned about your weight and need to lose more than 20 pounds, you may call and request a free trial now. The toll-free number is 1-800-400-8432. Please note that this free trial is only available to men and women in this listening area. If you do not live in this area, you are not eligible for the free 2-week trial. Again, this is a free weight loss trial from the Foundation for Healthier Living. Anyone who is concerned about their weight may call now for a free 2-week trial of a guaranteed weight loss program. If you do not lose the weight, you never pay for the product. Call for your free trial now. 1-800-400-8432. That's 1-800-400-8432. 1-800-400-8432.
Turn to the left with AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk. KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder. And AM760.net.
CBS News. I'm Steve Kathan. At the end of a damaging and costly week, Toyota now says it's figured out how to deal with faulty gas pedals that have caused recalls and halted sales of popular models.
They have a fix, is what they're telling their dealers. They are also working with CTS to come up with a permanent fix so they can start installing these in retrofitting vehicles.
John Giamalvo of Edmunds.com. The popular Prius hybrid is not included in the recalls, but some owners describe unexpected acceleration. Arlene Mornick of San Francisco says she was parking with a car facing uphill.
My car sped up. The minute I took my foot off the gas, the car sped up. So that was really scary.
Congress plans Toyota hearings next month. Honda's announced a voluntary recall of hundreds of thousands of the compact Fit hatchbacks to look at window switches that can overheat when they get wet, causing smoke or fire. Safety groups have hailed laws that ban handheld cell phone use behind the wheel, but Adrian Lund of the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety says new research suggests they haven't had much of an impact.
We do see reductions in the number of people who are talking on handheld phones, but we don't see a change in crashes. This is kind of a surprising finding.
The government reports a second straight quarter of economic growth, up 5.7% in the last 3 months of the year, due mostly to business restocking after the recession. And the Labor Department says workers' compensation rose only 1.5% last year.
Workers had no bargaining power. Many firms were actually cutting wages and salaries, so it's not surprising.
Economist Nigel Gault. The government wants to cut its own greenhouse gas emissions.
President Obama is ordering the nation's largest energy user, the federal government itself, to reduce greenhouse gas emissions by 28%. The order will be phased in over the next decade. Frank O'Donnell with the group Clean Air Watch welcomes the move.
The federal government takes this action, it can bring down our nation's overall emissions.
The administration also looks for major savings from reducing pollution from tens of thousands of government buildings and vehicles. Peter Mayer, CBS News, the White House.
And the administration says it intends to triple loan guarantees for new nuclear reactors to more than $54 billion. Just months after the administration announced 9/11 trials in a New York federal court, The Justice Department's investigating moving the location because of local complaints. Legal analyst Andrew Cohen.
It'll be its own fault for waiting so long between announcing a Muhammad trial in New York City and actually indicting him there. If there had been less time in between, I think New Yorkers would have seen how smooth the proceedings could be.
Closing arguments getting underway in Wichita in the Scott Roeder murder trial. The man who said yesterday in court he did shoot and kill abortion doctor George Tiller. Reporter Cliff Judy says the jury could get the case in a matter of hours.
They're not going to be allowed to consider a voluntary manslaughter charge or anything like that. Jurors are only going to be able to consider first-degree murder.
On Wall Street, the Dow is up 61 points. NASDAQ ahead 14. This is CBS News.
Thanks for calling Sears Automotive Center.
Can you fix my car?
Well, at Sears, our ASE-certified Blue Automotive Crew mechanics know cars inside and out. We'll find the problem and give you the best price, guaranteed.
Brakes.
Yes.
Tires.
Yep.
Struts.
Of course.
Oil changes.
Totally.
Helsinki smash rod.
You just made that word up, sir.
You're good.
Come into the Sears Automotive Center for our real-time price checks and get the best price guaranteed. Plus, come in now through February 7th and get a Valvoline oil change for only $19.99 with no hidden fees. That's right, just $19.99. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Sears. Life well spent.
This Valentine's Day, send your sweetheart the gift that shines above all others. Name a star after them. I'm Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, we will name a star after your sweetheart and send a beautiful gift package. The new star name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Call the Star Registry, 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com for this year's hottest Valentine's Day gift.
I'm Pat Woodard with an AM 760 local news update. If you have a flight out of Denver today, listen up.
Quarter-mile visibility for the past few hours. Not a whole lot moving out there.
National Weather Service meteorologist Bernie Meyer says the fog should burn off within the next couple hours. It's already cleared up out west. Poor visibility is affecting flights at DIA. Many airlines, including Denver's Big Three, United, Frontier, and Southwest, have delayed and canceled flights to and from Denver through mid-morning. A medical marijuana testing lab in Denver has been ordered to turn over all patient and customer records after being raided by federal drug agents. Full Spectrum Labs does potency testing for medical pot dispensaries. Medical marijuana advocates say the feds are harassing the industry. In sports, the Avs lost to the Wild last night, 1-0. They play the Stars tonight in Dallas. The Nuggets are in Oklahoma City trying to win their ninth game in a row. And the Rockies signed a one-year deal with slugger Jason Giambi. He'll back up Todd Helton this season at first base. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm Pat Woodard. Now here's Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
Watch out for a three-car accident being cleaned up. This is eastbound 36, right around McCaslin. Now, it's a busy drive, but no serious delays. You're going to find some heavy pockets for northbounders on 225 coming around that Parker curb, making your way towards 6th Avenue. Same deal on C-470. This traveling eastbound between Broadway and Quebec. Quick check on today's forecast. The fog is starting to clear off as the sun is coming out. We can expect a high in the mid to upper 30s. Currently, it is 24 degrees. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760 Progressive Talk.
If you want the best price when you sell your gold, it's easy. Just take it to Fast Cash. At Fast Cash, you'll get 40% more for your gold in cash and on the spot. So don't get ripped off. Get a quote before you sell and get what your gold's really worth. Visit FastCashGoldCenters.com.
The one thing I love about your show is you never throw me a softball.
David Sirota.
Always, you're going to give me a hard question no matter what.
On AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Wow. 806 here on AM 760, Progressive Talk. Listen to this. That's right. That's right. It's a Natty Light. I am drinking Natty Light. We're going to get to... Well, more tasty beer later on in the show. What are you trying to say about Natural Light? No, I like Natty Light. I like Natty Light. But in the studio is Drew Bixby. You read his column in Westward, the Drunk of the Week column. He has a new book out, Denver's Best Dive Bars, Drinking and Diving in the Mile High City. He's going to be at the Tattered Cover tonight at 7:30 p.m. For a book event. We were just talking, he cannot give away Natty Light at the book event.
I just assume the Tattered Cover's not interested in that.
Yeah, they probably are interested, but you might get in trouble if you do that.
Yeah.
But we are drinking Natty Light. It's kind of like, it's like soda, sort of. It's like beer soda.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really, it's just a metaphor.
Yeah. It's a metaphor. That's right. And I'm looking at this book right now, and it's a, let's see, what bar is this on the cover? This is on Colfax, right?
Yeah, this is the Satire Lounge.
Okay, and this is in one of the bars, obviously, in your book.
Yeah, what's interesting, though, about the Satire Lounge, I mean, Satire is part of the Pete's Empire, Pete's Kitchen, etc. Satire's been around for a long, long time. And over the summer, while this book was going to press, they closed and completely remodeled. So you walk into the Satire Lounge now, and it's like stainless steel.
It's not a dive bar.
It's not a dive bar.
Oh, man.
No, well, but it's already on the cover, so, you know.
So you're well, it still looks divey outside. It still looks divey, at least the
well,
outside.
It's got that beautiful Art Deco sign. I think yes. it's a gem on cool. Colfax.
You know, let's start with a question of definition.
Okay.
What in your mind makes a dive bar? What's ruled out and what's ruled in? Like, is there a disqualifying thing? Like, you just can't be a dive bar if you have X.
No, you know, one of the things I feel like a lot of people would assume would be on that list would be giant, beautiful, flat panel televisions. You know, you walk into a bar and it's got a big, beautiful television. It can't be a dive. And that's just not true anymore. You know, I thought about that over and over while being in these bars, and many of them have beautiful flat screen TVs. And it's kind of like, you know, when your TV goes dead, what are you going to do? You're not going to purchase an old tube television. You're going to upgrade. And so, you know, I struggled with that at first. I was like, oh, you know, they got flat panels.
It can't be a dive.
It can't be a dive. But it doesn't matter. It can't. It can't matter anymore. You know, as far as the rest of the definition, there's a page in the book on page 13. Titled Dive Bar Decor, and I wrote, if it ain't got at least half of the following, it probably ain't a dive. And so a lot of this is indicative. So, you know, rather than trying to sum up a dive bar in a sentence, I feel like you look at this list and you look at things like opens at 7 a.m., wood paneling and carpet, been around for 20 years, low overhead.
Payphones, I love that.
Payphones, ice cubes in the urinals because the plumbing doesn't work. You know, yeah. Free snacks and popcorn on the bar.
Let me turn to the product that a dive bar serves. I want to ask this question as somebody who really has gotten into really valuing the taste of beer. I say as I drink Natty Light. Can you get good beer, some of the really good beers, at a dive bar?
You can, but it's rare.
It's rare.
You know, I feel like you find it in the dive bars with younger owners who are trying to keep up with the Joneses. And mm-hmm. So they will get into bed with a distributor, and suddenly they'll have something from Oscar Blues in the bar. And you walk in, you're like, a microbrew at a dive bar? For the most part, no. You know, Lennon Bill's bar on South Broadway, I feel like it's one of those icons in Denver that people drive past and see but have never gone in. The options for draft beer at Lennon Bill's are Natural Light and Natural Light.
Now you are the that's ridiculous. You are the columnist, the Drunk of the Week columnist for Westward.
That's right.
How long have you been doing that?
2.5 years ago.
Okay. How did you get into that?
You know,
what was the tryout like?
You know, I moved to Denver in 2005. I haven't even been here that long, and I immediately started freelancing for Westward. I was doing, you know, the 9-day section and doing some features. And they had a columnist named Patrick Osborne who was doing that column, and he was leaving. And so the position was open, and Patty Calhoun, who's the editor, and Dave Ferrer, who's the Backbeat editor, they thought of me, and they kind of came to me and were like, you know, I don't know. Do you want this? I've seen you at Westward holiday parties. We know that you like to drink.
Like, did it have to be? That's what I was alluding to. Did it have to be sort of? Was there a liquor holding test or threshold, maybe?
You know, that's the thing that's weird about the column and its title, Drunk of the Week, is. I don't necessarily get drunk every time I go out to write that column. I go out to a bar and I have some drinks, and sometimes I have 3 and sometimes I have 13. So sometimes I'm writing about my misadventures and how I only barely remember them, but a lot of the times I'm just writing about the actual place. So they didn't bring me into a room
and
see who could stay on their chair longer.
Again, in studio with us is Drew Bixby, his new book, Denver's Best Dive Bars, Drinking and Driving in the Mile High.
Oh, no, drinking.
I read it wrong. Drinking and diving. Diving. No, not drinking and driving. Drinking and diving in the Mile High City. You can find the book's website at denversbestdivebars.com. He's going to be at the Tatter Cover tonight at 7 p.m. We're drinking Natty Light, the staple of dive bars. I'm actually looking in my neighborhood here. And
okay.
My neighborhood's east. And
okay.
I know I was out right outside the Ram Lounge.
Okay.
Seems to me Colfax. Is Colfax like the home base of dive bars?
You know, at Colfax and Broadway, for sure, if you wanted to do a bar crawl of epic proportions and only hit dive bars, you'd be best to do Colfax or Broadway.
Okay. Kind of a right angle. You could go east on Colfax.
Yeah,
and then
you
go
could.
South.
I don't think anyone could possibly hit every single dive bar, even if they started at Colorado and traveled, you know, west on Colfax and then south on Broadway. I'm pretty sure they would die somewhere around... Evans.
That's right. When you write and when you pick out bars to go to and test them, I mean, how about this? I'd like an example of a bar that you considered for evaluation for its dive qualities, and then didn't make it.
And then didn't go in the book. I would say that the bulk of the bars that fell into that category were the ones that were primarily music venues. So I made what I felt at the time was a very difficult decision to not include music venues. So I didn't include the High Dive. I didn't include the Larimer Lounge. I didn't include Bender's Tavern. All of these places, I mean, they're absolutely dive bars, but they're the type of places that open at 4 or 5 or 6 where you can buy tickets online for the shows, where there's music 6-7 nights a week. And in my mind, I had enough other dive bars to include where in the front matter I just said, you know, these places are wonderful, but they're music venues. They're not dive bars.
And I'm looking here in the book, and you have for each bar, a hipster scale and a dive bar rating. Tell us about those.
Okay, so the rating is for how divey it is. It goes on a scale of 1 to 5 bottles of beer, with 5 bottles denoting a diviest. And so the descriptors that I came up with is, you know, 1 bottle is your mother would be proud. You could walk into this bar, you could bring your mother to this bar. 2 bottles, your mother would approve. 3 bottles, you know, your mom's comfortable in most situations. I brought my mother to a couple of 3 bottle dive bars when she comes to visit. 4 bottles, your mother raised you better than this. And 5 bottles is your mother might be propositioned by
a
meth head.
Give me some 5. Let's look at some. Here's one. Okay, I'm looking at a five dive bar rating. The Lion's Lair
on Colfax.
On East Colfax.
Yeah, you know, the Star Bar downtown on Larimer, right 1 block from the ballpark is a five bottle. Bar, you know, it's actually karaoke cafe, but Bar is a 5 bottle. These are places where you walk in and you're nervous. And you know, after a while, I started walking in and not feeling nervous. I just learned that you can walk in, you can walk to the bar, you keep your head down, you order a drink, you tip well, you don't bother people, and it's no big deal.
I noticed what's not in here, actually. I wonder if you evaluated it. The Mozart Lounge.
Mm.
Why did the Mozart Lounge not? That's right near where I live.
Because the Mozart Lounge, in the process of researching the book, closed, remodeled, and became a gay piano lounge.
It did?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
How long ago?
It happened probably 9 months ago. Yes, I was in the Mozart Lounge, and I'm talking with the bartender.
I actually saw Patty Calhoun. She goes there every year for Mozart's birthday, right?
That's right, yep. Yeah. And I'm talking to the bartender, and I'm telling him what I'm doing. I'm here. I'm writing this book. And he's like, oh, yeah, here's the thing. And he tells me this is happening. I was like, well, I'll take my tab now.
Oh, man. Again, in studio with us is Drew Bixby. He's the author of the new book, Denver's Best Dive Bars, Drinking and Diving in the Mile High City. He's the columnist for Westward Drunk of the Week. You can find the book's website, denversbestdivebars.com. He'll be at the Tatter Cover tonight at 7:30. It's the Tatter Cover on Colfax?
Colfax, yeah.
On Colfax, well, appropriately.
Yeah, well, and that was my thought. You know, I could do it downtown, but I figured it'd be better to walk to a dive after the reading on Colfax.
Absolutely.
I got a question for you, Drew.
Okay.
Are there any dive bars in lower downtown?
Yes, there are, actually. And in fact, the weekend that we released the book, we did a lower downtown dive bar crawl. So what we did is we started at El Chapultepec. Right, you know,
right.
Legendary. I mean, they're open at 9 a.m. They're serving $1.50 draws.
That place,
yeah.
Is great. They got great Mexican food too.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, we went from El Chapultepec, and then you know we went to Star Bar, which is right there, and the old Curtis Street Bar, and then Bar.
Curtis Street Bar, so that makes the criteria, that the Mexican restaurant there on like 20th and Curtis.
That's right. You know, they also serve food, though.
Yeah,
I don't know anybody.
And they have music now, too, I think.
They do.
Well.
They do on the weekends. They do bands. I don't know anyone who's eating food at old Curtis Street Bar.
It's a seedy dive bar. I like it, though.
I've
been to this bar. Turk and I have been to this bar together. That was the last time I got really drunk. We were at Sancho's.
Sancho's is
my favorite bar on the planet.
That is Turk's favorite bar. Sancho's again. Another one.
I had to include Sancho's. I had to give the hippies a nod. You know,
you got
that,
it.
Cause that place, you know, for most people's criteria wouldn't be a dive because you don't get, you know, the old men, the third shifters, the lifetime drinkers aren't necessarily there, but the place is run down in a good way.
Yeah, it is run down. It is exactly right.
Check out their bathrooms.
Yeah, exactly. Stick around. 8:17 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. We're drinking Natty Light. We got Drew Bixby in studio. He's the author of Denver's Best Dive Bars. After the break, and if anybody wants to call up and have any questions about any of the dive bars or any bar-related questions, he writes the Drunk of the Week column, 303-713-7600. And up next, I'm going to ask Drew Bixby about whether any racial, ethnic kind of groupings are any bars like particularly, you know, oh, this is your X bar or your Y bar, this is where this kind of person goes or this kind of person goes, or maybe there's a religious element to it. I'm just curious if different dive bars, if there are differentials between them. We'll get to that after a traffic update with John Turk.
The hippies will be at Sancho's, Dave. I guarantee you that. Do got a few crashes around town. Let's go through them. Southbound I-25 after the Burford exit. One as well on southbound 25 approaching Colorado. Tough to get out of downtown on the southbound side there. Also a northbound crash on 25 just south of Santa Fe. Delays there. Emerson Street Bridge. Stop and go in Aurora. Southbound 225 between I-70 and Alameda. Also got a car fire at Tamarack and Hamden. Your forecast, patchy fog in the morning. That's going to burn off for mostly sunny skies. Highs in the low 40s. Right now, 27 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Look, I'm embarrassed to admit this, but doing my taxes just scares me. I just don't get it. Too many forms. Ifs, buts, and when this, then that form. And I really needed my tax refund fast. So I did my taxes at eFile.com. No math, no tax forms to choose from. And best of all, my 1040 Easy Return was free at eFile.com. Huh, now they call me the 1040 Easy Girl. Ouch.
Visit eFile.com now. Less taxing, more yours. Taxes made simple at eFile.com.
Comcast presents The On-Demand Couple. On June 26th, Shaquille O'Neal was traded alone in a new town. He turned to his friend Ben Stein. Luckily, Ben had the Comcast triple play with On-Demand.
I start and stop hit TV shows and the latest movies whenever I want. This feels like home already.
You too can enjoy the Comcast triple play with On-Demand. Now only $99 a month for 12 months. Call 1-800-COMCAST today and enjoy access to thousands of On-Demand choices, including movies, TV series, and kids shows. And now, you can even watch online, anywhere, anytime.
Shaq, you're blocking my movie.
Watch it on my laptop.
You can watch it on your laptop? Wait, that's my laptop!
Hurry and call 1-800-COMCAST today and get the Comcast Triple Play with On Demand for just $99 a month for 12 months. Or step up to our HD Triple Play and get up to $200 back.
Offer ends 3-7-10, applies to starter XF Triple Play for new residential customers. After promo, regular rates apply. Equipment, installation, taxes, and fees extra.
Don't be without gold. While you still can, call for free historical information and the free collector's DVD. 1-800-300-5798. Again, 1-800-300-5798.
So the plan for the Republicans was to stop health care, because they knew if they stopped health care that you and I would get pissed off, and that we would get pissed off at the Democrats, and that we would quit voting for the Democrats and the Republicans could take over. And so far, that plan is working. And so I just decided after my second drink that I wasn't going to be the tool for the Republican Party.
Mario Solis Marriage. Afternoons at 4.
I grew up saying I'd never work for the man, and I ain't going to work for the man.
On AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
I'd like a keg of beer, please.
You don't say.
Yeah, how much is that?
Hearing ID, sonny. You little bastard just won't give up, will you? Listen, no ID, no goddamn beer. Can't you get that through your thick skull?
Give me a keg of beer.
And these.
Bonus points if anybody can name the movie clip where that came from. Bonus points. Bonus points to anybody who can instant message us. We don't have any prizes to give away, but bonus points if you can name the movie And that was, I'll give you a hint, that was Michael J. Fox who said that, one of my most favorite movies growing up. And again, in studio with us, Drew Bixby is the author of the new book, Denver's Best Dive Bars, Drinking and Diving in the Mile High City, not drinking and driving. And before the break, I said I wanted to ask you about, I guess, are there any demographic qualities to any of these beers, any of these bars? And we said before, we just talked about Sancho's, like hippies go to Sancho's. Mm-hmm. Like, are there, give us some idea of some of the dive bars where, you know, if there's any demographic distinction where if you're this, this is the dive bar you want to go to.
Okay. Well, I mean, the easiest way to start is to play the race card. There were a number of bars that I went into where really I was the only white guy in the bar. And it was that Blues Brothers moment where I open the door and the jukebox scratches and everyone turns and looks at me.
So I'm, Animal House.
Yeah. That's, I'm sorry, Animal House. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Right. I remember, you know, I walked into a bar called the Scoreboard Lounge. And that exact moment happened where the record scratches and everyone looks at me. And I actually walked to the bar and I looked at the bar. And I said, can I get a drink? And she was like, of course you can get a drink. This is a bar, isn't it? And I ended up staying there for like 3 hours sitting with the owner, Willie. And he's I mean, we're talking for hours. And when I leave, he's like, don't stay gone so long. I mean, so, you know, there were a number of bars where I walked in and was like, well, this could get uncomfortable. And it didn't. And I would say that the next demographic is mostly Latino bars. There were plenty of bars where I was the only gringo in the bar as well. And then, you know, we were talking about the rating scales and how each one of the bars in this book is rated on a scale, not only just of diviness for beer bottles, but of 1 to 3 ironic mustaches, depending on whether hipsters are there. There are a number, probably a dozen bars in this book that have sort of been adopted by the 20-something urban hipster. Because they're cheap, because the overhead's low, because they have a jukebox that still has compact discs, and they've made it their own. I would say that it's, you know, by race, by age, and creative status, by whether you wear Birkenstocks and smell like
Well, I gotta be honest. I met my wife in one of the most grotesque dive bars, maybe in the United States. I mean, I really mean that. It was called the Raven in Washington D.C. in this kind of sketchy neighborhood called Mount Pleasant. And I should ask, do dive bars typically exist in kind of sketchy neighborhoods? I mean, East Colfax is can be kind of sketchy.
It can be kind of sketchy from the, you know, if your view is from the suburbs, I think.
Really?
Yeah. I mean,
it's Colfax.
It's Colfax. You know, I think one of the best examples of this is the Squire Lounge. You're standing at the corner of Colfax and Williams, and, you know, it's a nonstop carnival in front of the Squire Lounge on that corner.
But, I guess with Colfax, the farther east you go, the more sketchy.
Sure. And I don't know whether this is because I'm male, because I'm in my late 20s. You know, my wife would say different, but I've never felt scared for my safety.
No, but it's still a little bit like, you know, I live right. I forget how many blocks. What is it? 12 blocks east of Colorado.
Okay.
East of Colorado on Colfax. I live right around there.
Okay.
You know, it's like, you know, I mean, if I was a woman.
Yes,
right.
I wouldn't want to walk home alone. No, yeah. I would say that probably the most violence happens a block or two off Colfax.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
One block where it's darker.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, but that's what I mean. I feel safe within all those lights and the glow of the liquor stores and stuff. I mean, Playboy years and years ago called it, you know, the U.S.'s most wicked street, Colfax.
Did they really?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I believe. I got to be honest. I think Colfax is one of the coolest parts of the city.
I agree.
It's just there's a lot of character to it.
I agree.
It's a lot of small. You know, I don't want to say there's no chains, but it's kind of original.
You drive and it's like a block of seemingly sketchy, block of Irish snug, trendy, block of seemingly sketchy.
The funniest thing is you're right. Right near where I live, there's like, you've got like a gun store. And then you've got like a place to buy like pot paraphernalia.
Uh-huh.
It's like sort of two conflicting cultures. You know
what
I mean? Like,
yeah, and then there'll be a Qdoba. What's going on here?
Exactly.
I mean, if you're that far east, David, one of the better bars for me is the Hangar Bar, which is, it's east of Quebec. It's just east of Quebec. And it used to serve the Lowry Air Force Base. And I mean, that place is incredible. It's tiny. Now they're starting to do blues bands on Saturday night. nights. I mean, it's a great little joint.
Yeah, very cool. All right, let's take a call. Again, in the studio with us is Drew Bixby. His new book, Denver's Best Dive Bars, Drinking and Diving in the Mile High City. We're drinking Natty Light this morning, and he's going to be at the Tattered Cover on Colfax, appropriately, at 7:30 tonight. I'm sure you can go there and then hit a dive bar, one of them in his book. Let's go to the phones. Terry in Denver. Terry, you're on with Drew Bixby on AM 760.
Oh, hi, David.
Hi there.
Drew.
Good. Hi.
Listen, I wanted to mention a bar that I know you've mentioned, Drew, in your book. And it's, it used to be called Don's Club Tavern on 6th and off Washington, Washington Clarkson, right? And it has a big mixed drink sign. And I and my husband and all our friends for, well, I don't know, a long time, longer than I care to almost admit, would go in there regularly. We're regulars and saw so many changes, you know, but we kind of remained the pillars of society or something in the bar. And now I think that would qualify for one of those ones that has turned into a hipster, you know, like a,
oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And let me follow on that your comment, Terry, and just ask this question, which is, how many, I guess, dive bars, maybe it's not a number, but are there a lot of bars that are dive bars that have become not dive bars, like really just sort of gone in a like they've been so revamped that they're not even cool anymore, they're not even, you know, dive bars anymore? I mean, how big a trend is that?
Well, to me, it seems like a big trend, and I'm not a bar goer anymore.
Yeah, like the gentrification of the bars. Like,
right, I'm not a bar goer anymore, and I don't even know if it's necessarily a bad thing, because you can really only drink and be a denizen of one of those for so long in your life. Like, I'm 57, right? So a new generation has got to come in.
That's right.
And, you know, with their own pretensions and...
Well, that's interesting, Terry, that you called and mentioned Don's. And the thing that happened with Don's is it's pretty simple. Don died. And then what happened is Don's, you know, Club Tavern, Don's Mixed Drinks, it was going to close. And the Little Pub Company, which I've written about a lot of the bars that the Little Pub Company owns in my column, and I really respect what they do, they came in and they saved it. But in the process of saving that bar, they decided that it was time to remodel the bathrooms. And they decided that it was time to attract a younger crowd and make the upgrades that were necessary to keep it relevant. And so the result of that is the college crowd. And so, Don's does have a hipster element, but I think stronger than that, and some other bars would fall into this category, like the Candlelight Tavern, you get the college kids. They come on Thursday nights and Friday nights because it's cheap.
Right near Thai Basil.
Yes.
And Candlelight, I've never been in. It looks so cool. And I wonder about this question. I've always wondered about this. It seems to me that, like, things become cool. They can, if they suck for long enough, right, if they sort of sustain their suckiness for long enough, they suddenly become like retro cool at like some point. Like,
they're cool because they suck.
They're cool because they suck.
That's the irony.
That's the irony. And the thing is, it's like, if you're around and you're sucking for 5 years, you get no retro cool. 10 years, no. But like, it's like 15, 20 years, things that start to suck, their suckiness starts to become like this character. This, like, it becomes character.
Uh-huh. Character.
I feel like that's got to be kind of something with dive bars. Like, they, for years and years, they're like a joke and nobody likes them. And then suddenly it's like, wow, you've sucked for so long.
Yeah.
That you're awesome for sucking.
Yeah. Yeah, I read a really great article in the New Yorker about a bar in New Orleans that, you know, after Katrina stayed open and then the owner died, and it was this staple in the neighborhood, and they had this party when the owner died, and the people who were there were mostly lifelong New Orleans residents, but there was this whole demographic of young kids who came in who were like, this place is so great because it's so run down.
It's so gross.
And they were cleaning it out. I mean, it had flood damage, and they were piling up all the junk outside for the dumpsters to come, for the Army Corps to come drag away, and people were picking through it. They're
that's
like, this is the story of this bar, and I want a piece of it.
I feel like that's like the whole antiques business.
Yeah.
You know? it's like the whole theory of the antiques business. Again, in studio, this is Drew Bixby. He's the author of Denver's Best Dive Bar. He's going to be at the Tattered Cover on Colfax at 7:30 tonight. By the way, found a couple of your instant messages. Yes, that clip we let in with... And I'm reading down here. Jim, Paceology, Chris, and Greg T.
And several callers got it
correct
as well. And
Schubert, and several callers got it right. The clip is from Teen Wolf, the famous scene from Teen Wolf, where Michael J. Fox tries to get a keg of beer, and then he turns on the wolf. We'll go take another call here. Let's go to Phil in Denver. Phil, you're on AM 760.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, man.
You're doing a great job. We're sorry to lose Jay, but you've just done a great job.
Hey, thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Awesome topic. So the gentrification, there's a bar called Billy's Inn.
Yeah, good example.
44th and Lowell. And when they redid the place, and they did a nice job, the story was that they pulled up 13 layers of flooring, and they had tiled over carpeting twice.
Oh, my. Are you kidding?
But, yeah, you know, and it was a dump, and we used to go there, and it was a great place to go. And then they fixed it up, and it's still a great place to go. But
13 layers of flooring with carpet, that's gross.
Yeah.
Right. Well, Billy's is one of those bars where, you know, friends who've lived here all their life were like, oh, you got to go check out Billy's. And I walked into Billy's and was like, oh, this isn't a dive anymore.
No, but now you get lobster tacos.
But, you know, is that necessarily a bad thing, right?
Yeah, well,
you know?
Actually, let me ask you that question. And, Phil, thanks for the call, man. Let me ask you this question. How many places did you go on recommendations that were, oh, this place is a great dive bar, and then you go in and you're like, no, it's not divey enough?
Well, lots of places. I mean, I've only lived in Denver for 5 years, and so, you know, to write this book, I had to call upon all the people I've met who are lifers, who are Colorado natives, and say to them, I don't want to screw this up. You know, I've only been here 5 years.
Right.
I don't even deserve to write this book.
Right.
So, I would have these meetings of friends at bars, and we'd meet, and I'd be like, all right, you know, I'd make lists, and they'd be like, you got to try this place, this place, this place, and this place. And I'd go into them, and it'd been so long since they'd been there that it already remodeled, new owners. They'd started new, and it's like, well, I had a beer and I left. It's like,
a dive bar. I wonder, is drinking at a dive bar, again, you write the Drunk of the Week column for Westward, are there bars that make, we talked about the beer and how there's not a lot of bars where you can get good beer. What about good mixed drinks? Like, this place has got the best martini, or this place has got a good Manhattan. I mean, are there any places that do... even though they're in a dive, that actually do the drinks really well, or even have unique drinks, like to their own bar?
You know, by and large, I think what I found is in the majority of these dives, if you asked for a martini or a Manhattan, you'd get laughed at.
Okay.
Now, you get places that are notorious for how stiff their mixed drinks are. A great example of that is the Lancer Lounge.
Although, in fairness to your point, there is a picture of a martini
in the satire
on the front of your book and on the satire lounge.
You know, I've never been a martini drinker, so I never asked for one. But it's the type of thing where you walk in and you can see every liquor bottle available to you, and there are no mixers.
Yeah.
But stiff mixed drinks, I would say, is really what's du jour in dive bars. It's like, you know, you're getting two pours for one, and it costs $2.
What about? And my last question, because we got to run here. But my last question for you. Arcade games at dive bars.
Mm-hmm.
Any recommendations for where the arcade games are particularly good? And by good, I put that in quotes, meaning like old, retro, I'm talking Pac-Man. I mean, are there any places that have some cool places, like for people who like to go and drink and play, you know, I used to get into, I've been into the, not the Golden Tee, you know,
the bowling,
the physical one where you, it's like shuffleboard on like a long table. What's that called? Turk will know.
It's called shuffleboard.
Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, but it's like tabletop shuffleboard. It's long and you get the metal puffs.
Shuffleboard.
Shuffleboard is, I think, my favorite bar game. And, you know, the Squire Lounge, the Candlelight has shuffleboard. Those are the places where I play shuffleboard. As far as, you know, Pac-Man, Ms. Galaga, not really. Retro arcade games, you know, vintage arcade games, not really. The Campus Lounge has a lot of really great video games going on. And what I found that was so interesting is double-up poker machines. So these are 50, 75-year-old machines that are for amusement only, where it's a quarter and you play poker and you don't win anything. And those are in places like the Rosamia Inn and the Sidewinder.
So you're not betting, you're just playing.
You're just playing. But it was like a thing in Denver where I kept seeing them in dive bars wondering, you know, what was the time when this is the greatest game ever?
Well, I guess there was a time. Again, the book is Denver's Best Dive Bars, Drinking and Diving in the Mile High City. The author, Drew Bixby, he is the columnist for Westward, Drunk of the Week columnist. He will be at the Tatter Cover tonight, 7:30, at the Tatter Cover, appropriately, on Colfax. Drew, thanks for the natty light.
David, can I say one more thing?
Fire away.
We got an instant message, though, about the old Curtis Street Bar. We had mentioned the food, and I had said, oh, yeah, I don't know anyone who eats there, and this person's like, the food is great. And Turk had said, oh, the green chili is amazing. I wanted to say that I know Costa, who owns that bar, and it is a wonderful bar, and I personally have never eaten the food. But Turk, can you speak to the food?
I can speak to it, man. I eat there a lot.
Okay.
Me and my brother go and eat Mexican food there a lot, and their green chili's some of the best in town.
I mean, food in dive bars is just one of those things that's not that common, so
yeah,
I never
exactly.
did it.
Exactly.
I was always in for a few beers. So I don't want to disparage old Curtis Street Bar in any way. I love that show.
And that's you had to make that clear. That's absolutely fair. Again, the book, Denver's Best Dive Bars. We got an instant message here. I'll read it to you. This is pretty funny. This is from Kamel. 1 to 4 beers at a sitting, a fixation on beers and dive bars. Maybe you ought to go across the hall and have a conversation with Pete Boyles about addiction and radio hosts. Very nice.
I had a response for that person.
That's brutal, man. That is brutal. You know, if you can't have a good time on a Friday, can you have a good time? Drew, it's great to have you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, man. Anytime you want to come on and talk about anything, just give us a call.
Thank you,
man. It's good seeing you. 837 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. From Natty Light and Dive Bars to the chief executive of Colorado. Up next, Governor Bill Ritter in the AM 760 Progressive Dojo. Don't say that we don't cover a lot of ground on this show. Now, let's get a traffic update with John Turner.
That'll be a smooth transition, Dave. Looking at a 3-car accident, eastbound 36 near McCaslin. Stop and go begins at baseline for you. Tough getting out of Boulder. Same deal in Aurora right now. North and southbound 225. Southbounders, Mississippi to Iliff. Northbounders, Iliff to Mississippi. I don't know why that little stretch there is slow going. Also looking at some jams on 25 southbound Spear to 23rd. Also for the northbounders there from Emerson Street to 6th Avenue. Also had an accident cleared there around Santa Fe. Car fire still slowing things down at Tamarack and Hamden. Forecast, foggy, cloudy to start, but sunny skies are going to fall. Looks like it's already hit us. High of 42 today. Saturday and Sunday, mild and sunny, highs in the mid-50s. Right now we're at 22 in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Watch Golf Channel as Phil Mickelson makes his PGA Tour season debut at Torrey Pines. Catch every round of action at the Farmers Insurance Open tonight at 6:30 p.m. Mountain, only on Golf Channel.
And turn right in 1/2 mile.
I'm not great with directions.
Turn right now.
But now my GPS gets me wherever I need to go. TurboTax lets me do my taxes the same way. It guides me step by step through my return, searching for every deduction I deserve and helping me arrive at my maximum refund, guaranteed. No wonder it's the most trusted tax software in America.
See for yourself at TurboTax.com. Choose easy. Money back guarantee details at TurboTax.com. Trusted brand claim based on survey July 2009.
Now the internet answers to you when you use Yahoo Search. It's easier than ever to find the things you're looking for. From that restaurant everyone's buzzing about, to the cool new site you heard a friend mention, to finding the things that matter most to you. Yahoo Search makes it simple to save, share, even add notes to your searches. It's the search you've been searching for. Yahoo Search. Only on Yahoo. It's you. Start your search on Yahoo today.
Yahoo!
I first started the first 30 days, I lost 30 pounds. And by the time I hit a year, I lost 143 pounds. When I look in the mirror, I see a beautiful person. I love the Right Size Smoothies. It's the best thing that happened to me.
If you would like to try Right Size Smoothies for free, call now for a free 2-week supply. If you don't lose the weight, you'll never pay for the smoothies. Call 1-800-900-3967. 1-800-900-3967. That's 1-800-900-3967.
Save money with Bargain Watch at am760.net. For Valentine's Day, get a $1,000 Bear Creek Salon Beauty Package for only $195. Plus, tons of coupons from businesses all around town. Brought to you by Comcast. Click on Bargain Watch at am760.net.
Have you ever needed something but you forgot? You know, some of our Life Change Tea customers forget to order, and then they ask us for some rush shipping. What if it was automatic? You know, no gimmicks, just your product smooth sailing to you automatically. And what if there was free tea? In AutoShip, there's some free tea, so call us for details. That's 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Our AutoShip program has no lock-ins, and you can cancel at any time. Free tea. If AutoShip be, so call us. There's no better way to jumpstart your health. Look us up at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com.
The Home Depot has lowered prices on items throughout the store, the products you need most. So you save money and get more out of every project you do. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot.
on here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Yes, I have finished my Natty Light. Yes, I have. And I know it's not the smoothest transition to go from talking about Denver's dive bars to talking to the chief executive of our state. I don't really know how to make a good segue to that other than just to introduce Governor Bill Ritter, who joins us now to discuss a bunch of different things going on. Governor, thanks for taking the time this morning.
Hey, you bet. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. I got a Natty Light in front of me, a finished Natty Light, and it's 8 in the morning, so it can't be that bad a Friday. Before we get to a discussion about taxes, the issue that seems to be taking center stage in the legislature, I want to just ask you this, and maybe I'm springing it on you, but I want to ask you this. I have heard a rumor over the last week that you have been considering and may resign. Is there any truth to that at all?
No.
No truth to that at all. Do you have any idea where I might have, why that rumor might be floating out there?
I don't know. No, I don't. I'm not considering resigning.
Okay. I just figured I had to ask. All right, let's talk taxes. Now, you've been making a lot of news with your effort to get rid of a bunch of tax exemptions for various industries in state. There was a proposal, an alternate proposal, floated by some lobbyists down at the legislature to replace that tax proposal with to essentially repeal the exemption on groceries, basically creating a statewide grocery tax. What is your feeling on the state of the tax debate in the state right now?
Well, just so you know, there is a business group that was the one that proposed that. They wanted us not to eliminate for a couple of year period some tax credits and exemptions that impact business in different ways. And so they proposed as an alternative to that a grocery tax, and I said, absolutely not. We're not going to impose a grocery tax or a tax on pharmaceuticals or, you know, a tax on a sales tax on those things that everyday Coloradans consume and just this is not something I'm going to consider. What we did do was look at the $2 billion in tax credits and exemptions enjoyed by really largely the business community again, and we decided in order to balance the budget, and we've got $1 billion shortfall plus next year, in order to balance the budget, we decided that we would eliminate tax credits in $90 million. They relate to the business community. There's some additional ones that relate to the conservation community, and some additional ones are agriculture. But we said, as it relates to that business community, we will not. That we will go after these. They'll be on a limited basis. And now we're in a fairly significant, you know, debate about it with the business community. And it's just, in my way of thinking, what they need to do to participate in the solution of closing this $1 billion shortfall.
Would you veto a bill that created a grocery tax?
Well, first of all, I don't think you can just create a sales tax.
Well, get rid of the exemption.
If you could do that, right, and it came and it wasn't something violative of Tabor, I would veto that.
Okay, and that's good to know. And I got to tell you something. We've been talking about this tax issue all week, and I give you a lot of credit for being willing to have a debate about taxes. I know it's difficult. Let me ask you about that. I mean, it seems to me that this state and throughout the country there has been a serious anti-tax movement that has dominated state and national politics for a long time. Do you think that movement still impacts and still determines the way we discuss these issues, even at a time of deficit? I guess what I'm asking is, how worried were you or concerned were you that proposing any kind of tax reform that would ask for shared sacrifice at a time of budget deficits would create a kind of anti-tax backlash?
Well, no, I understood that it would probably create an anti-tax backlash. There are people, you know, out there who, any mention of this, they really sort of decide we're going to draw a line in the sand. And it doesn't matter how reasonable it is or what the reason is. They decide that. And so we did a lot of work actually with the business community in explaining that we started with $2 billion in credits and exemptions and asked for their input. We asked them to let us know what, if any, could be impacted in a way that's not going to, you know, really affect our ability to recover, but understanding and really have to understand it in a larger context. Next year, we're taking a $260 million cut from K-12. So we're really at a place where anything that we don't do in the tax credits or exemptions, we're going to have to do either in K through 12 or higher ed, but probably K through 12. And so they have to understand that. The reason I'm telling them they have to share in the solution is because any part of the solution they're not willing to do or we can't get past means that we're just going to have to take a bigger cut from K through 12. We must balance the budget.
Well,
we have over $1 billion shortfall. So we knew that there was going to be perhaps some backlash, but we did a lot of work up front hoping that we could get them to a reasonable place of understanding the need for us to eliminate these credits and exemptions for a short period of time and, you know, understand that that was their part. We thought they were in a better place, quite frankly, than what's happened over the last 4 or 5 days. We didn't think that all of the business community was going to, at the end of the day, write letters opposing this, that there were some who understood the need to do this and the need to balance the kinds of impact that there will be from balancing this budget.
Do you accept the argument? And I sure don't, because I saw it on, I guess it was two nights ago, I saw some of the debate on TV over this, and there was an argument being made. There's basically the standard jobs argument being made, that if you get rid of some of these exemptions, it will cost jobs. I mean, I'm guessing that you saw this. I couldn't believe it. I saw somebody who was talking about the candy industry. One of the proposals you have is to get rid of some of the sales tax exemptions on candy and soda, and it was the way I heard it, and I'm paraphrasing here, but it was basically like if you get rid of an exemption that would add, I don't know, 5 cents, 10 cents to a bag of Tootsie Rolls, it's going to mean Colorado's going to lose 800 jobs. Do you accept that argument?
No, that particular argument, no. There were people that came in and said, well, you know, I might move my mail room because we have this bulk mail delivery or, you know, these mail room mm-hmm. Exemptions that are going to go away on a temporary basis. I'm going to move to Oregon. It was interesting to me, because Oregon just passed two new taxes at the ballot a week ago in a special election. And, I mean, significant taxes.
Right.
So anybody saying they're going to go to Oregon hasn't been reading the newspapers. Our state remains a very low-tax state in all other respects, and the fact that a creditor exemption goes away for a little bit of time doesn't mean that those jobs will, you know, necessarily flee. People and employers, they make decisions about where to locate for a variety of reasons, and one of the reasons I think they locate in Colorado is because overall our tax structure is pretty, I mean, very reasonable relative to many, many, many other states. And so you have to listen to those people who say that and say, well, we have to balance the budget. We have to do what we need to with these particular credits and exemptions. We made them for 2 years. You can wait, and it'll come back. There's one of these, the net loss carry forward, where the business community is really adamantly against it, but we made it possible for you to pick that up at the end of the period. Like we just extended it, took a moratorium for a couple of years, capped it for a couple of years, and then extended it so you get your full losses at the end of it. And, you know, still, they're adamantly opposed to it and, you know, make these kinds of arguments about jobs lost. The fact of the matter is, if we take a bigger cut than we've already taken out of K through 12, that will translate into jobs lost, only it will be school teachers.
That's right.
Whose jobs will be lost. And that's not acceptable.
And amen to that. And again, on the line with us, Governor Bill Ritter. And I want to ask you about energy here. I guess it was a week and a half ago, maybe it was just a week ago, Denver Mayor John Hickenlooper, who was running replace you in 2010, he criticized you and your administration for the oil and gas rules, the idea of the jobs and oil and the oil and gas industry. That's been another area of economic debate. He criticized you, or at least the oil and gas rules that you passed. He was saying he didn't like the process by which those rules came to be. What's your response to that criticism?
You know, I think there is going to be times when Mayor Hickenlooper, as a candidate for governor, will find issue with something that we did. What I'll tell you is I lived that, and I very much stand by the things that we did in order to get to the final place where the rules were, you know, where the rules were implemented, where the rules are now being implemented. We went from having 1,000 permits a year back in 1999 to, I think, almost 9,000 permits in 2008. You know, so a 9- or 10-fold increase, and we had not changed the rules for 30 years. I just think that our water, our air, our wildlife, and quite frankly, even our local communities, that those all should be fair consideration for rulemaking when we're talking about an industry that can impact the quality of life in a very serious way. At the end of the day, I mean, right now, there are natural gas companies in Colorado who are upping their ante in this state. They're increasing their investment. The price of natural gas is coming back. Those industries are going to find ways to do all they need to do to still be able to drill. Many of the participants in the industry, the bigger companies, were already doing everything that's required by our rules. So I'm very comfortable that those rules were the right thing to do if you, A, were worried about being a steward of the land or the water, and B, not willing to kowtow to an industry that's had its way for a very long time in the state.
Last question for you. I want you to, if you can, give us an update on your efforts to help with the disaster in Haiti. There's been talk about Haitian orphans coming to Colorado. Where are we on that?
Well, the number of Haitian orphans who are finalized for adoption and coming to Colorado is a bit of a tough number. What we know is last week we were able to bring 32 kids who were adopted Haitians. They were in the final stages of adoption by Colorado families, and through a lot of hard work by a lot of people on my team and a little bit of luck, quite frankly, we got those kids out of Haiti, got them to Orlando through immigration on a plane that United had donated, and got them back here and united with their parents. All of them had met their parents over the last few years, but, you know, it was a game of chance, it felt like, to us. We still have somewhere between 55 and 70 kids who are still down there who are bound for Colorado families, and we're trying to get those kids home. It proves to be very difficult because of the paperwork. If the paperwork doesn't have, if everything's not in order, or if the Haitian government hadn't already filed their own paperwork saying this adoption is complete, then, you know, it's a lot more difficult to get them through immigration. But we're working very hard on it. We're not the only state that has this issue, but we are a state that has a lot of kids still there. I talk every day with my director of human services. We're looking at ways to handle the logistics on the ground. If we get the paperwork in order, how can we get those kids from an orphanage to an airport to the United States, and then through immigration and home to Colorado?
Well, keep us posted on that if you can, and we would love to have you back to discuss this and the tax issue as it goes on. We really appreciate you taking the time this morning. I know you're busy. Thanks again, Governor.
Okay.
Good talking to you.
See ya.
8:54 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Let's get a traffic update with John Turk.
Traffic is starting to clear for us around the city. Just seeing the normal jams around downtown, southbound I-25 after I-70. Three-car crash, though, as you approach Spear Boulevard. That's backing things up. Also an accident westbound 36 approaching Church Ranch. And a surface street accident at Zuni and Spear. Forecast, patchy fog in the morning, burning off for mostly sunny skies, a high of 42. Right now, 24 in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
If you sell your gold through the mail to some out-of-town stranger, you're getting ripped off. Take it to Fast Cash and you'll get 40% more in cash and on the spot. Want to get what your gold's really worth? Get a quote from Fast Cash before you sell. Visit FastCashGoldCenters.com.
Get live from Progressive.
Flo here. Today we're talking about
savings.
Hey, Flo, I'd love to save on my car insurance, but I don't know where to start.
You start right here. We'll compare our Progressive Direct rate to other top companies so you get a great price.
You do that for me?
Just for you and everyone else.
Everyone!
While you're online, check out Progressive.com today for a free quote. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations.
Like a lot of small business owners, you have all your business info at your desk, which is fine, except for the fact that you're out on jobs, you're getting supplies, you're out getting customers. In fact, the one place you're probably not is at your desk. Well, Intuit QuickBooks Online is made for you. It makes it easy to access invoices, sales records, and customer info from virtually anywhere, even with a compatible mobile device. Intuit QuickBooks Online lets you run your business from wherever you are. Get a 30-day free trial at Intuit.com. That's Intuit.com.
Rate based on APR of 5.53%. Approval contingent on full underwriting analysis. Check website for licensing information. Premium Capital Funding, LLC, DBA Top Dot Mortgage, 125 Jericho Turnpike, Jericho, New York.
You worked hard to get where you are. A nice house. A couple of cars in the garage.
mortgage. Unfortunately, you've also got an adjustable rate mortgage that could increase any time. But now you can take control, because Top Dot Mortgage, an equal housing lender, is now offering FHA 30-year fixed rate loans at the historical low of 4.875%. You could save hundreds of dollars a month. You heard me. Hundreds of dollars a month. At Top Dot, we provide a low-stress, customized approach so you can get the right mortgage to suit your individual needs. And right now, you can get your rate absolutely free. Just call 1-800-500-6244. These historically low fixed rates may only be available for a limited time. For free information, 1-800-500-6244. 1-800-500-6244.
Surround her with the strength of your love with the Love's Embrace collection, now at Jared.
That's Jared!
Jared is proud to present the new Love's Embrace collection, diamonds in a design created to capture the comfort found in each other's arms. This Valentine's Day, there is surely no more romantic gift. Available as necklaces, rings, or earrings, starting at just $79.99 at Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry.
It can only be Jared!
Find a Jared store or shop anytime at jared.com.
How would you like to improve your memory in just 10 minutes? That's right. You can start improving your memory when you call in the next 10 minutes for a free supply of Neurostin. 1-800-600-8199. Phone lines are open now. Neurostin is a scientific breakthrough with clinically proven ingredients that can dramatically improve your memory, focus, and concentration, and help reverse years of memory loss. Call in the next 10 minutes for a free supply. If you want your brain back, if you want to remember telephone numbers, people's names, and where you put your keys and glasses, Neurostin's all-natural ingredients can help dramatically improve your memory, focus, and concentration. See for yourself. Try it risk-free now. Start improving your memory now. Call in the next 10 minutes to try all-natural Neurostin before you buy it. Supplies are limited, so get your free trial now at 1-800-600-8199. Phone lines will be open for the next 10 minutes. That number again is 1-800-600-8199.
All right, up next, Christy Harvey of the Center for American Progress on all the stories that we missed of the week, including Barack Obama maybe not funding 9/11 victims. Stick around after the national news.
Hey, that stack of money over there with the googly eyes, is that the money you could be saving with Geico?
It's the money I am saving with Geico. He helped me buy this pool table.
Nice. So what else does he do? Can he tell jokes?
Seriously, Kevin, he's a stack of money. He doesn't tell jokes. He just blinks and buys me stuff.
Oh, well, I just thought...
Money can't talk. That's ridiculous. Why do you always take it too far?
Me?
To get a free rate quote, go to geico.com. Then buy online, over the phone, or at your local office.
I've got a busy, busy work day ahead of me. I've got loads of emails to catch up on. Quick lift at the gym, maybe. Then I've got to get the word out that Geico customers could save even more on their car insurance by signing up for other things like homeowners or renters insurance. Extra money you could be putting right in your pocket. That's what I'll tell them. Maybe put some slides together. Right, well, I probably should stop waffling along on the radio here. Put the old nose to the grindstone, eh?
For a fast, easy rate quote on homeowners or renters insurance, visit Geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO.
CBS News, I'm Nick Young. Uncle Sam is going to shrink his carbon footprint. From the White House, here's CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer.
The administration plans to reduce the government's greenhouse gas emissions by 28% over the next decade. The plan aims to cut pollution from hundreds of thousands of buildings and cars owned by the nation's largest energy consumer, the government itself. Frank O'Donnell with the group Clean Air Watch says the plan will have a major environmental impact.
It's a heck of a way to make progress toward the overall goal we have of reducing our nation's overall emissions.
The administration hopes the move will also reduce the government's more than $24 billion annual energy bill. Peter Mayer, CBS News, The White House.
The voice, purportedly that of Osama bin Laden, blaming the U.S. and other industrialized nations for global warming and various other ills. It is the latest recording said to be from the head of Al-Qaeda. He calls for a global boycott of U.S. products and the dollar. The White House is thinking twice about holding terrorism trials in New York City. An administration official tells CBS News there are discussions underway to consider alternate sites for the trials of self-proclaimed 9/11 mastermind Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and others. This New Yorker is relieved.
City has enough problems, basically unemployment. The overtime for police officers is out of control.
Well, closing arguments have just concluded in Wichita at the murder trial of Scott Roeder, the admitted killer of abortion provider Dr. George Tiller. For the prosecution, Deputy District Attorney Ann Swiegel.
He plotted it, he planned it, he carried out a planned assassination.
For the defense, Attorney Mark Rudy.
We ask you not to convict the defendant. We're going to ask you to acquit Scott Roeder of first-degree murder.
Winter storm warnings are in effect from New Mexico to North Carolina as heavy snow and ice make their way through the south today. The same storms left nearly 142,000 electric customers in Oklahoma in the dark. In Arkansas, up to 10 inches of snow could fall near the Missouri border today. On the heels of the massive Toyota recall comes word from Honda that it is recalling nearly 650,000 of its cars worldwide because of the possibility window switches could overheat and catch fire. AutolineDaily.com's John McElroy says it's bound to happen.
Cars are complicated machines. They have many thousands of parts in them, sourced to thousands of different suppliers, and every now and then somebody gets things wrong.
About 140,000 of the affected vehicles are in the U.S. Toyota's troubles are prompting auto industry analysts to predict the carmaker's market share will plunge to its lowest level since 2006. A strong performance at year's end, the Commerce Department says during the final 3 months of the year, the economy grew at an annual rate of 5.7%. PNC Financial Chief Economist Stuart Hoffman says average Americans were the main reason why.
The transition from the government stimulus to private industry and consumers, they carried the ball forward in the fourth quarter.
This is CBS News.
I don't want to just throw a big game celebration. I want to do it right.
Sam's Club member Linda O'Brien on gearing up for game day with super savings.
From wings and meatballs to chips and dips to Pepsi, the value can't be beat.
Members saved up to 30% on some of the most frequently purchased product categories. Become a member February 3rd through the 7th and score a $10 gift card.
When it comes to hosting, Sam's Club is my MVP.
Join Sam's Club for big values on everything for the big game. Sam's Club, savings made simple.
Surround her with the strength of your love with the Love's Embrace collection, now at Jared.
That's Jared!
Jared is proud to present the new Love's Embrace collection, diamonds in a design created to capture the comfort found in each other's arms. This Valentine's Day, there is surely no more romantic gift. Available as necklaces, rings, or earrings, starting at just $79.99 at Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry.
It can only be Jared!
Find a Jared store or shop anytime at Jared.com.
AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder. On your iPhone, BlackBerry, and AM760.net.
I'm Pat Woodard with an AM 760 local news update. Medical marijuana advocates say federal agents are harassing legal businesses in Colorado. The criticism comes after the raid of a medical marijuana testing lab. Full Spectrum Laboratories does potency testing for medical pot dispensaries. It's been ordered to turn over its record on its clients. An anti-hate banner is no longer hanging at Wheatland High School in Wyoming. That's after a number of parents complained that it represented a gay marriage agenda.
And my main intent was to take it down and take a look at the program and see what we're actually doing. And then the kids wanted the board to make the decision, and they did.
Superintendent Stuart Nelson talked with our partners at 9 News. The banner was sponsored by the Gay and Lesbian Fund for Colorado. Members of the Anti-Defamation League say the banner was hung up to promote tolerance. In sports, the Avs lost to the Wild last night, 1-0. They play the Stars tonight in Dallas. The Nuggets are in Oklahoma City trying to win their ninth game in a row. And the Rockies signed a one-year deal with Jason Giambi. He'll back up Todd Helton this season at first base. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm Pat Woodard. Now here's Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
Police are mopping up an accident southbound I-25 near Spear. Still kind of busy downtown. They're also working on a wreck westbound 36. This one occurred right around Church Ranch, so you could find some delays as you're trying to get to Boulder. We had a different accident on the eastbound side that really messed with the drive as you're trying to make your way Denver-bound from the Boulder area. Surface Street wreck, Zuni and Spear. Quick check on today's forecast. We can expect a high in the mid to upper 30s. Most of the fog is burned off. Currently, it's 29 degrees. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Join winter driving, it's just not normal. When there's ice and snow, take it slow. Along with slippery streets and highways, huge snow plows are often out there trying to keep the roads clear. Snow plows are large and powerful, maneuver slowly and plow far and wide, very wide. Slow down when approaching a snow plow, they're likely traveling slower than the posted speed limit. Also, don't tailgate or stop too close behind because they frequently back up, especially at intersections. A snowplow driver's view is restricted, so never assume that the driver sees you. Plows can also throw up a cloud of snow that can cause whiteout conditions and reduce visibility to zero, so use extreme caution when passing. In fact, the road behind a plow will be safer for you to drive on. If you do pass, watch out for plow blades. They're not only on the front of the plow, but a wing plow may project from the side of the truck. Best advice, ice and snow. Take it slow, especially around snow plows.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
Here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. It's already been a busy morning. Just want to remind you, I'll be at the Denver Press Club tomorrow, January 30th. 7 p.m., 1330 Glen Arm Place, an event open to the public. We're going to be talking about the state of Colorado politics, the state of journalism in Colorado, a few beers, a few laughs. Troubles are over. Actually, they're just beginning. Joining us now, as always at this time of week, Christy Harvey from the Center for American Progress to go over all the stories, or at least some of the stories that we've missed during the week. And Christy's got some personal breaking news.
I guess it's not actually breaking anymore, but
It's not breaking. You are.
It's a week and a half old.
You are getting hitched.
I'm getting hitched. I'm off the market.
There you go. You're off the market. Oh, well, congratulations. That's fantastic.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm really excited. I'm not used to it yet. I keep fidgeting with my hand, and I'm afraid at all times that I'm just going to accidentally take it off and fling it across the street.
Yeah, yeah. It's
crazy.
It is crazy. That feeling of getting married. I'm a five-year veteran of marriage. Turk is a longer veteran of marriage. How long have you been married, Turk?
I've been married for almost 11 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, then I'll come to you for all my tips and wedding planning needs.
Yeah.
Oh,
you
my
take,
God.
Here, Chrissy, here, let me just give it to you right now. You take care of everything. Don't expect him to do anything.
I was going to say the best tip I can give to anybody getting married about the wedding is to do your best to outsource the job to somebody else who might be more interested
Delegate
in the fine
wedding
details.
Planning to like an aunt.
Yes.
You know, that doesn't really have a lot going on. Do you have an aunt?
The thing is, I'm not even really planning to invite the aunts.
I
have like a teeny tiny little thing because, you know me, I'm more of a marriage person, less of a wedding person, but
you can't have the person who plans your wedding, you can't not invite them.
Exactly.
So you can't outsource it to an aunt and then not invite your aunt. You can't do that. So congratulations.
Thank you very much.
That's really fantastic. All right, let's go over some news of the week that we haven't, at least not at this station or on this show, have covered all that well. Can we talk about James O'Keefe first?
Yay, let's talk about James O'Keefe.
Because I haven't talked about this just because he's such a ridiculous person. Give us from start to finish, who is James O'Keefe, what did he do, and what's the latest?
Okay, so James O'Keefe gained a little bit of fame in right-wing conservative circles this past year when he dressed up like a pimp and dressed a friend of his up like a prostitute and basically tried to pull a prank on ACORN, which is the community organizing group that basically just helps low-income people who need a hand. And for some reason, he set his sights on them because the right wing decided to go after ACORN and basically got them on camera and shamed them because they had one rogue employee who was willing to help a woman who was a prostitute. So, you know, he gets kind of famous on that, and he's 25 years old. He's kind of a punk kid. And so, fine, you know, move on. This past week, he got arrested with three of his right-wing buddies inside Mary Landrieu of Louisiana's New Orleans office.
The Democratic senator from Louisiana. Right.
And basically, he and his buddies dressed up like telephone repairmen and convinced her outer office that they needed to repair her phones, and they got busted messing with her phones. And so the FBI got them, and they're in huge, they're big trouble, and all this sort of stuff. So that's what we knew as of maybe Wednesday. And little by little, more details are coming out now. But it's just, people were like, what are you doing? And he got caught. He was filming his friends who were messing with the phones. And, you know, part of it was a kind of a big deal because Senator Mary Landrieu sits on the Homeland Security Committee.
Right.
For the Senate. And, you know, stuff that would go across those phones is ostensibly classified. So, yeah, it was just this weird story. So yesterday we got a little bit more news on it. First of all, this is my favorite part, the indignity of all indignities. Magistrate Judge Louis Moore, who's going to be hearing the case, said, okay, fine. You don't have to be in prison until we hear this case. But until we do, you're moving back in with your parents, young man.
So he got relegated by court order to his parents' basement.
Yes, basically.
That's brutal.
I don't know about you when you were 25, but
I mean,
I think that would be worse than prison.
That's what I was going to say. That's like brutal. That's a real sentencing. That's like tough on crime, law and order.
I love it. I love it. And then second, they came out to explain what they were doing. And if this is the explanation, man, they're going to be in for a rough ride. They said they weren't there to tap her phones, which is what everyone thought. They were actually there to cut all of the phone wires to cripple her office so they couldn't receive incoming calls.
Oh, so they're acknowledging. So
it was sabotage.
So they're basically saying that they were trying to vandalize, not trying to spy.
Exactly. So there was this big right wing thing, especially with some of the neo Christian, neo evangelical groups, that said that Mary Landrieu wasn't listening to them enough about health care, and they were trying to flood her lines and yell at her about her stance on healthcare, supporting healthcare reform, and instead her lines were just busy, and so they were angry. So he was going to, quote-unquote, teach her a lesson by cutting her lines and seeing how her staff reacted when they actually couldn't get calls.
Really, really, just an amazing, yeah. Amazingly idiotic story. I mean, you kind of knew it when you saw this guy back at the Acorn thing. You kind of knew that he was going to go too far.
Yeah. You could just tell that he'd probably, I don't know, needed to wait tables or do something to sort of get grounded in real life for 20 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And again, I'm aligned with this. Christy Harvey at the Center for American Progress. Her own personal news. You hear her every week at this time on our show. Her own personal news, she's getting married. She's getting hitched, which is great. Another congratulations to you. Okay, so what other stories were on your mind this week?
Well, can I tell my other favorite one that's sort of not... This week was a lot of serious news.
Yeah.
You know, with Massachusetts and healthcare and State of the Union.
Right.
So I thought I'd just lighten up your Friday with some of the fun stuff. But I knew you'd like this one because I remember you and I, back in the day, going through and tracking all the people who wanted to name wacky things after different politicians.
Right.
You'll see where I'm going when I finish this one. So there's this guy in Southern California named Arthur Milhare. And I think, speaking of needing a hobby or a day job, this is this guy. So he is leading the fight to rename Mount Diablo in Southern California because he thinks the word Diablo, which is, of course, Spanish for devil, is derogatory and profane, and he doesn't want to have to hear it. He also says that the
word devil.
Yes.
He doesn't want to hear the word devil in Spanish.
Diablo, yes. He said, profane, this shouldn't be in our daily lives, we got to scrub this mountain. This mountain has been there forever, of course, but the mountain's name has been there kind of forever, too. You know, it's been there since the Spanish were in Southern California centuries ago. So then he said that it also is illegal, because according to the Contra Costa County Board of Supervisors, they cannot name structures or landmarks after living people. And as everyone knows, the devil is still alive.
No way. That's this guy's argument?
So he actually has a hearing with the federal government. He's petitioning the feds. This is happening this coming week. He is petitioning the feds to rename Mount Diablo, drumroll please, Mount Ronald Reagan.
Oh, you're kidding. Come on. So he... well, I guess what? So the devil is alive. According to his logic, the devil is alive.
Right.
Somewhere. And
I just love that he's trying to rename the devil Ronald Reagan.
Right. I didn't even think about that. Right. He's trying to rename the mountain that was named after the devil after Ronald. Is he a Democrat or Republican?
He's a Republican.
Obviously.
And
okay. And he's crazy. And wow. Talk about people who have a lot of time on their hands. I feel like the upsurge in Twitter is kind of a reflection on people having too much time on their hands, but somebody who is spending their time trying to rename a mountain because it's called Mount Diablo. That really takes the cake. Now I'm reading here on Mic Check Radio, which is your website at the Center for American Progress. 3D movies. So we're going to be having more 3D movies after Avatar?
There are more 3D movies. Did you see Avatar?
I did.
Haven't seen it yet.
I did. I saw it.
What'd you think?
I thought it's worth seeing and experiencing in 3D. It was pretty cool.
Okay. I'm on the fence about seeing it because I usually like sci-fi things, but 3 hours, man, that just
It was long. It was long, but I tell you something, visually it was cool. And so this announcement that I'm reading here about how there's going to be more movies in 3D, I think this is a good thing. What's the news? Which are the next big productions coming in 3D?
This is pretty cool because I'm afraid of the big 3D explosion affecting movies that shouldn't be in 3D.
Right.
You know, you don't really need to see 500 Days of Summer in 3D.
Right, you don't need to see Glengarry Glen Ross in 3D.
Right. Oh, that'd be awesome with that coffee cup. Warner Brothers, this is a good one. Warner Brothers announced that it's going to release the next two Harry Potter films in 3D.
That's cool. That's appropriate for 3D.
It is. And it turns out it's no longer, with all the technology and technological advances, it used to cost a gazillion dollars to make a 3D movie, and now it's kind of nothing. And so they're going to... it's going to cost $5 million to switch the movie into 3D, and then it costs $5 million to get everybody their 3D glasses.
Well, I tell you something. The last time I had seen a 3D movie before I saw Avatar, I saw Captain EO, the Michael Jackson movie down in Epcot Center, and I was, like, totally blown away. And, like, Avatar, I actually think what happened was is that over time, I remembered Captain EO was way cooler than Captain EO probably was. But
yeah, I saw Captain EO as a grown-up. It's not that cool.
Yeah, well, I was like eight. And I was
right.
Like, you know, I think there's something with like a fish that comes out or something. And I got like freaked out and I thought it was the coolest thing ever. And so I was all psyched for Avatar's 3D to be similarly fantastic. And while it was definitely cool, I definitely recommend seeing it. I definitely think my child imagination took Captain EO to a level. Because, I mean, I went in there saying, oh my, Captain EO. And now I'm thinking, wow, Captain EO probably was pretty cheesy, and but I will say this: it's a good thing that Hollywood is doing more of these 3D. And I agree with you. As long as it's not going to be like 500 Days of Summer in 3D,
right.
You know,
right.
We don't need basic dramas in 3D.
You know, that's cool. And I like the animation in 3D. I saw Nightmare Before Christmas in 3D.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't see that. Was that cool?
It was very cool because I remember because I saw Captain EO, you know, when I was 30, and so I was like,
"You
oh,
got
wow.
problems if you saw Captain EO when you were 30."
Well, everyone saw it when they were a kid.
How old are you? Are you like 80?
And so, yeah, I was a grown up when I saw it, and was like, "Oh, this is what all my friends were so excited about in you know seventh grade."
Yeah, but and you saw it when you were 30 because you're 80.
Right. No, I saw it recently.
How did you see it recently? Where are they showing Captain EO recently?
It was down in Florida.
Are
they still go?
Are they still showing Captain EO at Epcot Center?
I don't know if they are right now, but they were when I went a few years ago.
Oh, are you a Michael Jackson fan?
I'm not, but I wanted to see. Everyone saw Captain EO as a kid.
I see. So you were like, I've heard of Captain EO. I happen to be down in Orlando, and Captain EO happens to be playing. I've got to go see this.
Exactly. I want to see the hydroponic lemons at Epcot. Cause that's my favorite thing. And then I want to see Captain EO. And so
were you on anything hydroponic yourself? You don't have to answer that question.
I was not.
You don't
you
have
know
to
me.
Answer
I'm
that question.
I'm a clean living girl.
Yeah, you are.
No, I was not. I just am a dork. I'm just a nerd.
Christy, I heard they got some good stuff up there in Alaska.
I've heard that
the thunder
too.
Something.
You know, if you're ever down here, Christy, in Denver, you got to bring some microbrews from Alaska. I hear they have some good ones up there.
They're amazing.
The Alaskan Amber, Christy, is awesome, isn't it?
Alaskan Amber is fantastic, and they had an Alaskan Winter White beer
that
was a little bit fruity, but not in an over.
You're getting on Turk's bad side. Turk always tells me he's not a fan of seasonal beers.
I don't mind my seasonal beers, man. I tell you what, I've been digging some apricot ales too lately.
Really?
And I hate to admit that, but yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You shouldn't
I'll
admit that in public.
You'll like it.
Oh, we'd love it, Christy. And we'll send you a wedding gift, okay?
We absolutely
Ooh, like
will.
That.
You will get one. And from AM760 and from us here, Christy Harvey from the Center for American Progress. Find her work at miccheckradio.org or americanprogress.org. Christy, congratulations. It's great to talk to you.
Thank you very much. I'll talk to you next week.
All right, good. 920 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Up next, Avery Brewing Company in studio. We're going to take your nominations for Schmuck of the Week. 303-713-7600. We got open lines. 303-713-7600. Talk about anything you want, all the topics we've been discussing, or any topic you want to raise. 303-713-7600. Open lines. Nominations for Schmuck of the Week. I will fill you in also on, finally, this U-turn that President Obama made yesterday on funding for 9/11 victims, and we'll drink some beer from Avery Brewing Company after a traffic update with John Turk.
Thank you, David. A lot of traffic around Boulder right now on the turnpike. Westbound, Sheridan to McCaslin. Eastbounders trying to get out of Boulder from Baseline all the way out to McCaslin there as you approach Westminster. One surface street accident in Denver, Zuni and Spear. Also looking at some heavier jams on southbound 225 and Aurora between Yosemite and the Tech Center. Patchy ice on 25 down south from Monument Hill to New Mexico. Same deal on I-70 east of the Eisenhower Tunnel to Vail. Forecast foggy and cloudy to start, followed by sunny skies. High of 42. Weekend forecast looks pretty decent. Mild and sunny. Highs in the mid-50s for both days. Right now, downtown checking in at 27 degrees. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Start live from Progressive.
Flo here. Today we're talking to
newlyweds.
Hi, my husband and I are combining our policies, and my mother-in-law says we can save with Progressive.
Well, with online, homeowners, and multi-car discounts, saving on car insurance is easy.
So you're saying she's right?
I'm saying get used to it.
Get great savings and more at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Discounts not available in all states. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Winter driving can be a real challenge. If there's ice and snow, take it slow. Even if you have an SUV with four-wheel drive, it doesn't mean you'll be able to stop any faster or maintain control any better once you lose traction. Four-wheel drive may get you going faster, but it won't help you stop any sooner. No matter what type of vehicle you're driving, accelerate gradually and avoid abrupt steering maneuvers that could cause you to slide. Allow extra distance between you and the vehicle ahead. It takes more time and distance to stop in adverse conditions, so when you need to slow down or stop, if you have anti-lock brakes, depress the pedal and let the brakes do the work. Don't pump them yourself. If roads are slippery, turn off the cruise. Keep your own feel for the road. And before you leave, check road conditions. Safe drivers know the weather and they know their limits. If the weather's bad, stay where you are until conditions improve.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
Fight for a real limit on global warming pollution. Fight for a better future for our children and grandchildren. Sponsored by Environmental Defense Action Fund.
923 here on AM 760. One of our sponsors, our new sponsors of the morning show, the Yak and Yeti Brew Pub. Everyone always asks us, how do we support Progressive Radio, the Progressive Morning Show here on AM 760? Well, this is an easy one. Get some great food, Indian, Nepalese, and Tibetan food at the Yak and Yeti Brew Pub. It's absolutely the best place in town to get incredible Indian, Nepalese, and Tibetan cuisine. Family-owned, the Yak and Yeti serves lunch from 11 to 3 and dinner from 5 to 9:30, 7 days a week, and they offer vegan and vegetarian menus. And I can vouch for that because I am a vegetarian, and I was just there about a week and a half ago. Fantastic, fantastic food, including a great buffet. Visit one of their two great locations in Arvada on Ralston Road in Old Wadsworth and 86 in Sheridan in Westminster. Mention this ad and get 10% off your bill. Hit the yakandyeti.com to check out their menu, to check out their beers. If you're there, make sure to say hi to Dahl, the owner there, and make sure if they still have it. And I know they do, but it's a hot item. So make sure to get a sip of their chai stout latte. Not latte. Did I say latte? Their chai stout. Their chai stout beer. It is really,
that'd be a
really,
funky mix.
It would be a funky mix. Their chai stout beer is absolutely fantastic. They also got a great IPA over there. It's the yakandyeti.com. That's their website. Again, it's in Arvada on Ralston Road and Old Wadsworth and 86 in Sheridan and Westminster. Tell them Sirota sent you.
Oh, how sweet. Is that a Valentine's Day gift?
Actually, it's for me.
A Bear Creek Salon beauty package?
Yeah, it's valued at $1,000, but I'm buying it for $195 at AM760.net.
That would make a great gift.
I know, but I'm keeping it.
Bargain Watch, brought to you by Comcast.
Here on AM760 Progressive Talk, in studio with us now, Ted Whitney of the Avery Brewing Company up in Boulder. They're located up at 5763 Arapahoe Avenue in Boulder, where they opened in 1993. Their website, averybrewing.com. We're going to drink some of their beer. We're going to take nominations for Schmuck of the Week. We're getting your instant messages. AM760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. Let me just read a couple of instant messages here. Schmuck of the Week. Here we got a nomination for Judge Alito, Sam Alito, shaking his head yesterday night. People are upset that he shook his head during the State of the Union when Barack Obama kind of called out the Supreme Court. So we're going to take your calls, 303-713-7600. We got some open lines, 303-713-7600. We heard from Governor Bill Ritter about the tax debate in state. Do you think he's right or wrong to be pushing this repeal of some state tax exemptions? He said he would veto. I made some news, said he would veto any bill that would create a grocery tax. If you want to weigh in on the Colorado Springs effort to give homeless people a one-way ticket out of town, is that the right or wrong thing to do to deal with homelessness? Is that a slippery slope to not in my backyardism? 303-713-7600. And again, we'll take your nominations for Schmuck of the Week. Ted Whitney from Avery Brewing Company, thanks for being in studio with us.
Totally stoked to be here, Dave.
Yeah, we really, really appreciate it. Tell us a little bit about Avery Brewing. How big is it? I know you've been around since 1993. How big is it? What do you guys specialize in, if you specialize in any particular kind of beer?
Well, we, like you said, we started in 1993. We're making about 16,000 barrels of beer a year right now. We're about a $5 million company. We sell beer in 36 states as of yesterday.
That's great. That's big.
Yeah, yeah. We're doing kind of the wide and thin thing.
Yeah.
We specialize in great, big, flavorful styles of beer. So what we want to see is just a new way to challenge people, get people to expect more from their favorite brewery.
And you've got one brewery, brew pub. I don't know if it's a brew pub. It's a brewery up in Boulder on Arapahoe Avenue. And how is the economy? I ask this every now and again of the breweries that come into our studio. How's the economy hitting you guys?
You know, nationally, markets like Michigan, where we've had a lot of success, we're starting to see kind of flat growth trends. But here in Colorado, we're still up in double digits growth. All of 2009 was pretty good to us. You know, there's a saying in the beer industry, when times are good, selling beer is great. And when times are bad, selling beer is even better.
Yeah, and I there's something, it's interesting. Why that exists. What's your theory about why that trend exists?
We talk a lot about affordable luxury. You know, we've got a good friend at the brewery who likes to say, to buy the best bottle of wine on the planet, you got to skip a mortgage payment.
Yeah, right, right.
To buy the very best beers, you can walk into your favorite liquor store with a 20 spot and leave with change.
Yeah, and that's totally true. I mean, I think that's like one of the coolest parts of beer. It's like, I'm going to see some friends for dinner tonight, right? And mm-hmm. I am going to bring some really, really good beer, and I am not going to be like super hurting in the wallet. You know, like, it's awesome, right? And they're psyched, and I'm psyched. Let's open up the first taste. What are we going to taste here first?
We're going to start off with our White Rascal. It's a proper Belgian wit beer. Oh, man.
There it goes.
There we go.
There it
All
goes.
Right. It's fermented with real Hoegaarden yeast, made with Curacao orange and coriander. It's legit the letter of the law in North Belgium.
So, yeah, I'm looking at it here, and the color of it. Yeah, it's like it's not even blonde. I wouldn't call it a blonde beer. It's kind of like a almost white beer, right?
Yeah.
It's like what you call it. It's like a milky kind of white beer.
The style of wit beer or white ale was named for its brilliant white head. It's got a nice pale orange color in the body, and then there's a lot of residual yeast in the beer. It provides more flavor, gives you some nice stability, and a nice hit of B vitamins, too, so you get a little buzz with your buzz.
Yeah, this is nice. This is nice. I got to tell you one thing. It's kind of like how Barack Obama is when he followed George Bush, the bar was set so low. We are drinking this beer after having, Turk and I, after having a can of Natty Light. So the bar right now is set, the palate bar is set pretty low for us.
Cool.
But this is fantastic.
Cool. Yeah.
This is really good. It's very light. It's like it's not overpowering you.
We want it to be very light in body, very easy to drink, very refreshing, but still very, very flavorful. You know, we want to see that spicy hit on the end, that coriander comes across.
Yeah, it's really good. I can taste that coriander. It's really, really good. Let me fill folks in on a couple pieces of news that I promised to fill you in on earlier. Yesterday, a crazy story and kind of predictable. We've been talking about budget cuts President Obama pushing budget cuts and to non-defense spending. The headline first yesterday at 1:30 p.m. in the New York Daily News, Obama administration opposes 9/11 health funding. The Obama administration stunned New York's delegation, dropping the bombshell that it does not support funding for a 9/11 victims' health bill. By the end of the day, the headline was Obama to double budget for treating 911 responders. In amazing same-day U-turn, and the headline said, the story said, the White House revealed Thursday night that it's actually going to boost funding for ailing 9/11 responders, responding to that outrage. So I just want to mention that story. When folks say, oh, you know, you guys are being too tough on Obama, or the Democrats are being too tough on Obama, this shows you the value of pushback, the value of saying when something is wrong and what happens. And you see the Obama administration making its U-turn. Let's go to the phones for some nominations for Schmuck of the Week as we drink this great beer from Avery Brewing Company. They're in studio with us. We'll go to Virginia in Lakewood. Virginia, you're on AM 760.
Hello, David.
Hi there.
I haven't talked to you before, but I do listen. Schmuck of the Week. It's a plural. It's, you know, I sent you an email. I stand on the corner every Saturday, protest the war. And my schmucks of the week are the people who drive by and either don't look or look away, or the ones who read the signs because I can see their lips moving. But no reaction. It's either ignorance or apathy. I'm not sure.
What do you want them to do in that situation?
I would prefer, I know this sounds silly, but I would prefer at least a negative reaction to see that they have something moving in their heads than just this total stare, you know, this total blank stare. And I don't think my signs are offensive. You know, I have one that says Afghan war equals Vietnam. Torture is a crime. Prosecute U.S. war crimes. Iraqi dead, America's shame.
Well, I'll tell you this, Virginia. You know, I think part of the problem is that our culture has been so stripped of the culture of direct action and of protest that I think for a lot of people, it's almost become, they see it almost as a novelty. They don't even know how to respond. I mean, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, protest movements, protest politics, that was a central part of American politics. And I think it just speaks to, I'm not absolving the schmucks that you outline here. All I'm saying is that I think it's a commentary on a culture that has been really depoliticized at a very core fundamental level. And I think you're right to lament it. And I think that hopefully, if there is a silver lining out of this political moment, it will be to create a teachable moment out of all the tumult out there. And I really appreciate your call, and I appreciate you you making your voice heard.
It was Howard Zinn, wasn't it,
who said absolutely.
Dissent is patriotic?
Dissent is the highest form of patriotism, absolutely.
Okay.
Well, keep it up out there, okay?
David, I want to invite you to join us. 52nd and Wadsworth, 12 to 1 every Saturday.
12 to 1 every Saturday. Thanks for the call, Virginia.
Thank you.
Take care. 9:34 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. We are drinking in studio, drinking beer from Avery Brewing Company. Ted Whitney is with us. So you guys are up in Boulder. It's a lot of competition up there in the beer industry up in Boulder, isn't there?
There's a ton of competition. Just a lot of people have really great ideas, really great concepts of what they want to do, and a lot of belief in their ability to get that done. And it's worked out really well for us.
And you were saying before that actually a lot of the beer, you know, the microbrew industry, the craft beer industry. I mean, you guys know each other. Everybody knows each other. It's small business. It would be considered small. Under 100 employees is considered, I guess, small business. So most of them, if not all of them, are small businesses. I mean, is there kind of a camaraderie in the microbrew world? I mean, is it really true that you all know each other? And how like worried are you sometimes, oh, that guy's going to steal, you know, my idea, or they're going to steal my recipe? Is there any of that going on?
Absolutely not. We're in fact an open source brewery.
Really?
We'll give you recipes for anything you want to make. We offer yeast to homebrewers when they come.
What's the theory behind that?
Rising tide floats all the boats. You know, the more people are making great beer and challenging themselves, the more success we find in the marketplace.
What's the best-selling beer that you guys make?
Our India Pale Ale.
It's really good, Dave.
Turk got me into IPAs. And
nice.
I got to tell you something. I definitely think IPAs are kind of an acquired taste.
Oh, we're going to acquire that taste for you this morning.
Yeah, awesome.
What's the national trend with that? Why are hops so popular? It just seems like in the last couple of years. It seems like, you know, nobody
people
knew about it.
People want more, man. They want more intensity. They want more experience. Yeah. They want more flavor. And you get that delivered big time in a beer like an IPA. It's a great venue to experience the floral component of hops, the balance that you can impart to beer with hops.
I feel like with an IPA, and I'm going to get kind of cheesy literary here, but I feel like you can really kind of like taste the earth or something. Like you can taste actual
it's the concept earthy. Of terroir. You know, you can actually taste where these hops came from.
It's
you
really
can taste the brewer's passion and their ability to matrix all these flavors together for you.
And I don't think I'm really not over exaggerating. It's kind of like when you drink a beer like we're drinking now, and this is the white ale, right?
Yep.
Yeah, we're drinking the white ale. It's a very light beer. It's got a great taste. The IPA is more like, it's like you want to sip it really slowly because there's so much flavor in it.
That's called savoring, man.
Yeah, that's right, savoring. Let's take one more call before we got to hit a break. We'll go to Cheryl in Boulder. Hey, Cheryl, how you doing?
Good. How are you, David?
Okay.
I've admired your work for a long time.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
I used to live in Salida about 25 years ago.
Oh, very cool.
Oh, I thought so, too.
That's a great place. I've been fishing out there. It's fantastic.
Yes, but I was a social worker, and I started hearing rumors that anybody in town who had the audacity to request aid to dependent children or food stamps was promptly given bus tickets and put on the bus to Denver.
In Salida?
Yes.
Are you serious?
It was standard operating procedure.
Wow.
And I attended county commissioner meetings regularly as part of my job and started paying more attention to that. I thought it was just abhorrent.
And you're referring, obviously, to folks who are just tuning into this Colorado Springs Gazette piece today that's about how the police in Colorado Springs are buying one-way tickets for some folks who are homeless, one-way tickets out of town.
That's what they do.
And it is what they do. And as I said very early on in the show, you know, this is not as rare as people think it is.
Oh,
right?
No.
It was
all chuckle at the commissioner's meetings, like, sweep it under the table and keep it quiet.
It's not in my backyard kind of the way we deal with things. We don't like dealing with, questioning, talking about the issues of systemic poverty in this country.
Yes.
It's a really, really big problem, and I think that's why we flagged the story this morning. And as you allude to, it is not a problem that is only limited to one or two stories. This has been standard operating procedure in a lot of different places.
Yes.
And it's really a problem. Hey, Cheryl, thanks so much for flagging it for us. Do you have a schmuck of the week?
I think I'm watching the legislature. We can't possibly take these tax breaks away from companies. We have to cut education and
poverty
programs.
That's a good nomination. The people arguing against these getting rid of these tax exemptions, that's a very good nomination for schmuck of the week. I second it wholeheartedly. Have a good one, Cheryl.
God bless.
Okay, 9:38 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. After the break, we'll drink some more beer. We'll try the Avery Brewing Company's IPA. In studio with us is Ted Whitney. I will also fill you in on this vote yesterday on Ben Bernanke. He got reconfirmed. What a bummer. Not surprisingly, our two Democratic senators have voted for him. Disappointingly, but not surprisingly. Turk, you ready for a traffic update?
Yes, I am ready for that.
Turk is...
Sorry, there's some crazy stuff going on here in the control room.
In the Millennium Falcon.
I swear I've had two sips of beer so far this morning. It's not affecting my performance on the job.
Let's get a traffic update.
It's exactly the same as I said at about 20 minutes ago. Just the normal jams coming out of Boulder, westbound side, Sheridan to McCaslin. Those eastbounders baseline all the way to McCaslin. Also slow going southbound 225, Yosemite to 25. And on southbound I-25 between I-70 and Spear, pretty quick commute this morning. Friday's always a little lighter than the rest of the week. Your forecast, patchy fog in the morning. That's going to burn off for mostly sunny skies, highs in the low 40s. Right now, we're at 25 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Watch Golf Channel as Phil Mickelson makes his PGA Tour season debut at Torrey Pines. Catch every round of action at the Farmers Insurance Open tonight at 6:30 p.m. Mountain, only on Golf Channel.
The following is the voice of someone who reported software piracy to the Business Software Alliance. How was it working with the BSA?
Process was great, very simple. That's sort of the nice thing about it being confidential, too. You don't have to worry about people coming back and saying, hey, you reported us, what were you thinking, that type of thing.
Report software piracy confidentially, and you may be eligible for rewards of up to $1 million. Visit www.nopiracy.com. Otherwise, call 1-888-NO-PIRACY. Also, you can use Bing or Google and simply input BSA.
Save money with Bargain Watch at AM760.net. For Valentine's Day, get a $1,000 Bear Creek Salon Beauty Package for only $195. Plus, tons of coupons from businesses all around town. Brought to you by Comcast. Click on Bargain Watch at AM760.net.
Twice a month. You just kissed me.
I get excited.
Yeah, maybe a little.
For a fast, easy rate quote on renter's insurance, visit Geico.com.
Hi, this is Troy Hampshire, host of the Dollars and Cents Show. Join us every Saturday morning, 11 a.m. on AM 760. We are your 401k rollover and IRA specialist. Give your money the power and protection that you need every Saturday morning, 11 a.m., Dollars and Cents on AM 760.
Save money with Bargain Watch at AM760.net. For Valentine's Day, get a $1,000 Bear Creek Salon Beauty Package for only $195. Plus, tons of coupons from businesses all around town. Brought to you by Comcast. Click on Bargain Watch at AM760.
Well, beer, we've had some great times. When I was 17, I drank some very good beer. I drank some very good beer I purchased with a fake ID. My name was Brian.
9:41 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. It's Friday, the end of the day Friday, so we are, of course, drinking beer. In studio with us, Ted Whitney, sorry, my bad. I'm already imbibing. Ted Whitney of the Avery Brewing Company. They're located up at 5763 Arapahoe Avenue in Boulder. Their website, averybrewing.com. We were talking, we're going to taste, this is, what are we going to taste now?
We're on to the IPA. We just had the New World Porter. That's our black IPA.
Which is pretty cool because I have not had a, I don't think I've had a black IPA. It kind of is really a nice mix of malt. Mm-hmm. And the hops, which is, I think we were talking off air, you said it sometimes the hops cover over the malt. And in this one, you can actually really taste the malt. It's great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You got to taste the whole thing. It's got to be that big experience for you in the palate. And it's always got to be balanced or you can't discern any flavor anyhow.
That's right. That's right. And the other thing I really like about Fridays here in studio is, for whatever reason, I really don't like drinking beer that's too cold. Because you can't taste it. Mm-hmm. I feel like I used to think, you know, all these commercials that show, like, cold filtered beer, whatever that means, is ridiculous. You know, it's that if it's too cold, you can't taste it. And so maybe beers that are being advertised for being cold, what they're saying is our beer tastes like crap. So you've got to make it really cold. So
it's the concept of anesthetizing your palate.
Exactly.
You know, if you can't taste anything, you can't tell them anything's wrong.
That's right. I heard, I think a previous brewer had told us that the other thing that anesthetizes your palate is carbonation.
Uh-huh.
And that you don't want to over-carbonate. Beer.
To some extent, the carbonation does a cool thing in beer. Because you have carbon dioxide dissolved, when you change temperature of the beer on your tongue, it lowers the ability of the beer to hold CO2, so you get a foam flash.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to drive the volatile compounds in beer that make you taste it into your sinus cavity.
Yeah.
Which is going to allow you to experience the beer a little bit more to a point. But beyond that, it'll change the pH. It does a lot of things to the beer.
Yeah, and we were talking off air, and you were saying that in the beer business, one of the toughest things and one of the best things is that there's so much competition that it's always pushing everybody to do better and better things.
And we all drive each other to do better and better things inside of the craft side. And it's so cool to see the craft dominating in terms of market growth right now. You know, the big three are really afraid of what we have going on. And you can see that by their, you know, the quote-unquote craft beers that they're putting out.
Like Blue Moon.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And they claim that that's kind of like the Coors' microbrew branch, I guess.
The Shock Top or whatever.
Yeah, which is super flattering to us. We love that they're trying to emulate our success. But they're just not doing it because they don't have the same people behind those beers that we have. And, yeah, they've got some people back there, but their hands aren't as free as ours.
Right.
Let me fill folks in before we get to the phones, and we're going to go through some rapid-fire calls of Schmuck of the Week nominations. My Schmuck of the Week, is going to be all the senators who voted to reconfirm Ben Bernanke. He passed the Senate yesterday by a vote of 70 to 30. Now, if you can believe this, this is what's so amazing about this story. 30 votes, not a lot of Senate votes, right? That's not a lot out of 100. 30 votes is the most amount of no votes that have ever been mustered against a chairman of the Federal Reserve.
That's crazy.
Ever. Which
you only need 20 more and basically he's gone, right?
Yeah, but what I think is really ridiculous about it is this is the most powerful economic position in the entire government. And we've gone through lots of different parts of our history, right? Bad economic times, good economic times. And you're telling me that the Senate, the sort of wholly owned subsidiary of corporate America, a House of Lords, at any time in our country's history, the most votes ever against one of these guys has been like 30. Like 30. Like that's pretty weak. So my schmuck of the week are all the senators who voted for Ben Bernanke to reconfirm a guy who admitted that he fell down on the regulatory job and is now giving away trillions of dollars to the banking industry. Let me give you guys, maybe it would be nice if he gave, I don't know, small businesses like the Kraft Brewing Company. There you go. The Kraft Brewing Company. The craft brewing companies bailout. Ben Bernanke, of course, hasn't been doing that. All right, we're going to go to the phones, take some calls for Schmuck of the Week, nominations for Schmuck of the Week. I'm also going to read some instant messages, am760.net. You can send us your nominations over there. Also, my column is up over there. It's about Anderson Cooper's black T-shirt. That's all I'm going to say about my column. It's about Anderson Cooper's black T-shirt. Check it out at am760.net.
You know, his mother got voted Schmuck of the Week.
I read
she got
that.
A vote early in the voting polls.
I read that. We're going to go through all of those votes. She did. He's the son of a billionaire of the Vanderbilt
Silver Spoon Fed. Yes.
Yes, that's right. So my column is about Anderson Cooper's black T-shirt. I'm not kidding. It'll be in newspapers, but you can find it on our website. All right, we're going to go through rapid fire. Everybody, we put on the phone. You got about 20 seconds. Here we go. Fire away, Alvin and Greeley. You got 20 seconds. Fire away.
Hi. My schmuck of the week is John Boehner because he's refusing to work with Obama. Obama's calling for, move past partisanship. And in my paper, John Boehner says, we're going to continue down the same path this year. So they're not going to work with him.
And you know what? That's a good nomination. The Republican Party in the Congress, the party of no, they could get Schmuck of the Week every single week. But John Boehner in particular, a good nominee. Thanks for the call, Alvin. John in Denver. John, you're on AM 760.
David,
fire away, man.
How are you?
All right.
National Socialist Movement. The Nazis. The Nazi clowns who got the highway to clean up and. Not that I condone throwing trash out the window, but I think we found a new place to do it.
Well, you know what? I could say it again. I'm not calling the Republicans Nazis. I want to be very clear about that. But just as you could name the Republican Party in the House of Representatives Schmuck of the Week every week, you could certainly call the Nazis Schmuck of the Week as well every week. But it's a good nomination, particularly on this week. Hey, man, thanks for the call. Good nomination. Let's go to Bob in Denver. Hey, Bob, how you doing?
How you doing? This goes back to 1977 when the Georgetown people told me they wanted me to run the welfare clients out of town when I was there to put them to work on the welfare program.
Are you talking about the Colorado Springs stuff?
No, I'm talking about Clear Creek County. I was up there. I had a lot of money to put people to work, and they kind of told me, we don't want these people to go to work. We want you to run these young women out of town.
No, that's what I'm saying. You're referring, you're relating this, I think, to the story in Colorado Springs where they are giving people a one-way ticket, if you're homeless in Colorado Springs, a one-way ticket out of town.
Yeah, right. This is what's happening in 77 as well.
Yeah, I know. And I'm telling you, this is why I said earlier that this is not, this is not just a one-time story. This could be a systemic story. Hey, Bob, good nomination. Thanks for your call. Let's go to Diana and Greeley. Diana, 20 seconds. Fire away.
Yes, Bennett is going to be here in Greeley,
mm-hmm.
Okay, at a house party that I've been invited to. But one question should I ask him?
What question should you ask Michael Bennett at a house party? Boy, that's gotta come up with one question. What would I ask Michael Bennett? I would ask him, if you really want to put him on the spot and you got guts, okay? I would ask him why voters should think that he is not in the pocket of Wall Street when he is one of the top recipients of Wall Street cash in the entire U.S. Senate.
So So like Romanoff said, why is he getting all this money, right?
Yeah, but I would make it specific. When it comes to Wall Street reform, you are on the banking committee. Why should your constituents believe you are not going to vote with Wall Street when you are one of the top five recipients of Wall Street cash in the U.S. Senate? Now, I got to throw it to you, Diane, and ask you this question. Do you have the guts to ask him that question?
I certainly do.
Okay. Well, you know what?
You've got to call the answer back in.
That's what I'm saying. Next week, you got to call us back and let us know what he said, okay?
You got it.
All right, Diana. Thanks for the call. 950 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. In studio with us, Avery Brewing Company. Ted Whitney is here. They are located at 5763 Arapahoe Avenue in Boulder. We just tried their IPA, which as a aspiring IPA expert, I wouldn't call myself an expert, I'm a drinker. This is a very good, it's very smooth, it's not overpowering you with its flavor, although it's got a lot of flavor. Sometimes, I gotta say something, sometimes an IPA, if it's not done right, it can kind of blow your face off.
Oh,
you know, like
hops are, Garrett Oliver from Brooklyn Brewing Company has a great saying. He says, hops are a lot like salt. Just because you have 2 pounds in your kitchen doesn't mean your soup needs it.
That's right. My brother, who is a doctor in town, he can't deal with IPAs, and in particular, he can't deal with the super strong ones. And I've been telling him, they're not all like this. And this one that you guys have made is like a really, really nice nice mix. Now, we're going to try, what are we trying here? This is a bigger...
We're going old school, Dave.
What is this?
This is our Hog Heaven. We labeled it a barley wine style ale because in 1999, when we started making it, the world wasn't ready for a double IPA. But it really is a double IPA. It's a...
Can I ask a question
IPAs?
about yeah. a double IPA? And again, it's the Hog Heaven. What is the difference between an IPA and a double? What does that mean, double IPA?
Bigger, more flavorful. You know, we added a lot more sugar to start fermentation, so we had a lot more room to play with flavors here, and we added a lot more hops. I mean, we're talking about big time Columbus hops.
I mean, this is what my brother couldn't deal with, but I got to tell you something. This is what I love.
Isn't that delicious?
This is a fantastic, fantastic. But this is like, if I went into Avery Brewing Company, this is what I would ask for.
This is our baby, man.
There's something in here. What's in here? What is that taste in here? There's like a something else, not just a normal double IPA. What do you? Is there something else in
there? I get pine resin, and well, it's just hops, malt, and barley. Hops, malted barley, and water. But there's so much in the way of hops. I get that really nice, rich impression of grapefruit rind.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It's
and
almost like a citrusy thing.
Yep.
Yeah, it's like how hops can simulate other tastes. All right, 9:52 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. After the break, we'll read some of your instant messages nominating Schmucks of the Week. We'll take a couple more of your nominations. 303-713-7600. We got a couple open lines. We've gone over everything. All of my news items. Check our website for my column on Anderson Cooper's black T-shirt and disaster pornography. More after the traffic update with Captain Turk.
Dave, just a couple things to tell you about. Traffic has cleared up for us really nicely this morning. Just the normal jams coming into downtown, southbound side of 25 from I-70, taking you past 20th. New crash, though, Colfax and Quebec out on the east end of Denver. Patchy ice on 25 between Pueblo and the New Mexico state line. Same deal on I-70 before you get to the Eisenhower Tunnel, taking you all the way to Vail. Forecast, patchy fog in the morning. That's going to burn off here. Mostly sunny skies today, high of about 42 degrees. Right now, 28 in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Want to save on your groceries every time you shop? Just look for the yellow tags at King Soopers. They're the sign you're getting a great price, and you'll find thousands of them throughout the store every day. Get more value for the way you live at King Soopers.
Live from Progressive.
Flo here. Today we're talking about
savings.
Hey, Flo. I'd love to save on my car insurance, but I don't know where to start.
You start right here. We'll compare our Progressive Direct rate to other top companies so you get a great price.
You'd do that for me?
Just for you. And everyone else.
Everyone!
Get your free quote. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or go to progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations.
Driving in winter requires preparation because you never know when you may find yourself stranded. Before the first snows begin to fall, check your vehicle's tires, brakes, fluids, wiper blades, lights, belts, and hoses to make sure they're in good shape. A breakdown is bad on a good day, dangerous in a snowstorm. Before venturing out onto snowy roadways, make sure you've cleared the snow from all the vehicle's windows and lights, including brake lights and turn signals. Make sure you can see and be seen. And prepare an emergency kit, including things like a blanket, sand, or cat litter for extra traction, additional warm caps and gloves, some food and water, and a cell phone. Before you go, check out road and weather conditions to help plan your route and departure time, giving yourself plenty of extra time to get where you're going. Above all, know your limits. If the weather's bad, stay home.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
I only came here to do two things, man. Kick some ass and drink some beer. Looks like we're almost out of beer.
Dazed and confused, oh yeah. In studio, Ted Whitney from Avery Brewing Company. We just finished off the double IPA. We're taking your nominations for Schmuck of the Week. Let me just read a couple here off of our instant message. My nominee for Schmuck of the Week is John Boehner, a perpetual schmuck. Why does he hate America and Americans? Also, I'd like to testify to the greatness of Avery beer, says Rusty. Each style they brew is an excellent representation of that style. I couldn't agree more.
Thanks, Rusty.
This is from... I don't know who this is from. They didn't leave a name, David. I'm a big fan. But did you actually read the Gazette article about shipping out the homeless? I think you're exaggerating what's going on. Yeah, we read the article, and we understand that the police are looking to see if people are being they're getting a one-way ticket, homeless folks, out of town, and the police are doing their due diligence to see if those people are going to a family member. My only question was whether it's right or wrong for a government to be, as a matter of public policy, saying, hey, if you're homeless, here's a one-way ticket out of town. Schmucks of the Week from a fellow homebrewer. I nominate Earth Justice McChristy Adams and Gary Walkner with Save the Pooter and Clean Water Action. They never mention senior water rights and or allocations of the projects they discussed. We had them on our show earlier this week. Okay. Is it too late to nominate the Supreme Court for Citizens United versus FEC? That's a good nomination. Still getting more of your nominations at am760.net. You can always send some messages. Okay, we're going to drink another beer from Avery Brewing Company. Ted, tell us what beer we're going to drink. And also, my question to you, I've always wondered this. Can you characterize the political culture as a whole in the craft brewing industry? Is it conservative? Is it progressive? I get a progressive feeling from it, but I wonder, you're in the industry. Is it what can you characterize it ideologically?
You've got to know that characterizing the political culture as a whole for any group is absolutely impossible.
Agreed.
So I'm going to generalize, which is always more fun, and I can't wait to get emails about this. Brewers are really, really interesting people. They're extremely well-educated. They're extremely driven. They love to challenge themselves. They love to challenge the people that they do business with. And it makes for very interesting political times. The guys tend to know exactly what's going on, and because they like to stir the pot, or stir the mash, as it were, they really like to, be more on the fringe.
I mean, I don't get a hardcore...
I would put them more on the liberal side.
Yeah, I don't get a hardcore kind of country club Republican feeling.
No. They like to think out their positions and then stick to them very, very, very
fast. Yeah, like I would believe that you'd have some super liberals... And I believe you have some, like, Ron Paul conservatives, right? Some, like, libertarian-style people, right? I mean, kind
of... closet conservatives?
Yeah, kind of iconoclastic. So it's that's my feeling, and I think
you
kind of confirmed
it. But I wouldn't say they stick to any one platform. They'll move around based on good ideas.
Absolutely. Okay, and that's the show for today. AveryBrewingCompany.com. They're located at 5763 Arapahoe Avenue in Boulder. Ted Whitney from Avery Brewing, thank you so much. And your
come
beer
by the tap room.
Fantastic.
It's open 7 days a week, noon to 8.
Thanks, man.
Just throwing a plug.
Thank you so much for being in here. Plugs are always welcome.
Awesome.
Have a great weekend.
Senator Michael Bennett is facing a tough choice. There's pressure in Washington to give up the fight to solve global warming. Lobbyists are whispering that it's too hard, that Congress should pass the kind of energy bill we had under George Bush, one that doesn't put a cap on global warming pollution. But this may be the last chance in a generation to solve the climate crisis. We have, for now, enough pro-environment senators of both parties to pass a real limit on global warming pollution. We only need the will to get it done. Scientists tell us we must act now. Senator Bennett, oppose a George Bush-style energy bill. Fight for a real limit on global warming pollution. Fight for a better future for our children and grandchildren. Sponsored by